Tonight on the Infinite Lives podcast, Dan suffers from audio delays. Kevin and John can't decide on discussing economic policies of Eastern Bloc countries or Africa. RPGs featuring basketball and hip-hop. Human-generated audio artifacts. Assassin's Creed starring Scott Bakula. All that and more tonight.
Welcome back to the Infinite Lives podcast, episode 10. This is your host, John. I am joined again, of course, by Dan. Say hello, Dan. This is where you say hello, Dan. You're not going to say hello. Dan has died.
And hi.
I hate you so much.
I hate audio lag.
And Kevin, of course, is here. Say hello, Kevin.
Hey.
Hi.
You're going to drive me insane.
My name is Dan.
I will end you.
Man, there's so much lag on this.
Dude, your mouth was moving. Nothing came out.
It seems like you're Skyping in, but I can look at you right in front of me. I can actually reach out and touch you.
Belated.
Oh, God. Well, anyways, welcome back. Thanks for listening. Today, we're actually not going to start out talking about video games. We're going to kind of discuss...
We're going to discuss politics in the Eastern Bloc countries.
Shit. I was doing Africa.
Oh! Okay, we gotta get Courtney on this.
Hi.
Damn it.
I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I got nothing. My brain hurts.
Excellent. No, actually, what we're going to talk about is some of the stuff that we've been looking into getting to make more content for the site. I know, Kevin, you've recently picked up a couple of things for providing content for the site, aside from the audio podcast. Why don't you talk about what you've been recently getting?
So, picked up Elgato Game Capture HD, which should be pretty good for capturing the 360, the Wii, pretty much any modern thing. It also can handle, has like a nice little extra cable capture PS3.
Wait, are we actually going to try and capture some Wii gameplay, Kevin? Do you
no, okay. No. Well, maybe.
I don't know if my Wii even works. It's been over a year and a half since I've plugged that thing in.
Mine works brilliantly. I use it for Netflix.
Oh.
It's the only thing you use it for.
SD Netflix at that.
Well, it's...
Apparently that's the console that most people use Netflix for. Like, if you look at the Netflix usage stats, it's like the Wii is like over 30% of the market or something.
That's because there's so many families who bought it when it first came out because of Wii Sports, and now they have pretty much a Roku equivalent.
Yeah, that's insane.
So
I use my 360 for it because I like high definition.
See, I use 360 on my good TV, but in bedroom Wii.
Yeah, I think you should just invest in a Roku box, Kevin, and then
a bedroom Wii.
Get rid of that. Yeah. Get that Wii out of there.
Oh, sad little thing.
The sad thing is that thing had some great games on it. Like the virtual console idea for that was amazing.
Yeah.
Like out of all three of the consoles that came out this last generation, they were the ones, I think, who did the best job of cultivating their back catalog and giving you games that you couldn't necessarily purchase elsewhere.
Yeah.
And it's just, I from what I've read, it seems like they might be abandoning that for the new console, which is sad.
Then what I loved on Virtual Console was you even got some of the weirder things, like Final Fantasy IV After Years.
Yeah, I remember that. The Wii Shop had that. You played through that? You said it was good. Was it good? Okay.
So, it start off with the main chapter, you know, it's one of those where you could buy in more chapters.
I remember that.
You have to get the first one. First one was really good, mm-hmm. And then would come, like, two or three chapters per, like, I think month, and all of those were real good. Then came the epilogue, and the epilogue was a dungeon crawl with one member of your party. Spoilers! Cecil is in a coma, but he's in your party.
Okay.
Which means he can't use magic. If I remember right, he just stands there.
That sounds awesome.
Until you get 15 levels into this, like, 30-level dungeon. And each level is plagued with between 1 to 5 boss monsters, ridiculously hard encounters, non-stop encounters. I mean, the random encounters, it's not random. 2 steps. Battle.
Ugh.
It's a grind fest, and I gave up after I got, like, 5 or 6 levels in.
Well, another winner by Square, I guess.
It's so close to being good.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Like, I want to play through again, just do the chapters, not the epilogue.
But anyways, we're getting sidetracked.
So
you bought an Elgato, and have you tested it out yet?
So, tested it. One problem with pretty much all of the HD devices for capturing, except for, like, the high-end, you know, professional, like, $1,000-plus devices.
Which we're not going to get at any time.
We po.
Says you.
Oh, well, I guess Dan's got a crazy investment plan.
No, Dan's not going to get it. He's going to give it to us.
No, what you do, Dan, is you go back to the Philippines and you find a guy who can hook you up with one really cheap.
Yeah, break after, like, 4 uses.
Oh, well. What, you're saying that stuff there isn't high quality?
We could get high quality, but it'd be the same price.
Son of a bitch. Well, what's the point?
So, it works, but it has lag. It's a USB 2 device, which makes it nice and portable, but there's a lot of lag. I saw some, what's it called? Thunderbolt cable, or whatever the hell, you know, Apple uses.
Oh, yeah?
Those sound like they do good, but super expensive. And then I saw a USB 3 one that pretty much every review says it breaks after about 4 uses. So it's the Filipino special, I guess.
Damn it.
Wow.
Hey, you said it first.
You self-disparaged, Dan. We just...
You guys brought it up.
I thought it was cool because you said it.
That's my word.
Sorry. Sorry.
So Elgato is their best bet right now. I'm sure that they're working on USB 3.0 ones. It's just... This is what's out there right now. I'm guessing we'll, at some point in time in the future, we'll get a 3.01.
Yeah, and one nice thing is it works pretty good with XSplit, so we could put it on the web.
Awesome.
There's the delay. So XSplit has an audio delay feature, so you could delay your mic to match up. But then if we're doing our webcam, well, then it's like Dan earlier where you speak and then you speak.
Okay. Well, you know, but it's a work in progress. We're still figuring all this stuff out.
Damn it. One nice thing XSplit, though, is working on a video delay. So once they do that, we're set.
Cool. That'll be nice. Yeah, we should be able to hopefully get that up and running soon. That XSplit program is really nice. I'm actually a fan. I'm glad we invested in the premiere version of that and have been fooling around with it. Dan, have you fooled around with that more since we've, like, started our streaming stuff? Have you fiddled with, like, the quality settings and things like that?
No.
No, just straight up. I'm streaming this. This is what's going
to
happen.
We tried it for the... Remember? We tried to change it for the Black Friday stream.
Oh, were you changing the stuff on that?
No, remember we tried to change it and then it broke. And then we got freaked out. Then we changed it back.
Oh, was that changing the quality on it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was... Okay.
I tried to output at a different resolution, like a higher quality one. And then it kind of didn't work anymore. And then freaked out and just put it back to default.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks like okay. Higher quality, it looks like it's mainly for local record.
Maybe.
Maybe, yeah. Something to look into some more.
So, then I also picked up EasyCap, which is a component or... Composite and S-Video capture. No lag on it. Up on Facebook, there's a little test video of me playing some Return Fire. That's me playing it off the computer, not off of a TV that is split-fed into the computer. Worked brilliantly, and going to be doing some stuff soon with 3DO off of that. And picked up a Sony Movie Studio... Premiere Suite, whatever they call their thing.
So you can do
thing.
Sick edits on your movies and give them...
Sick edits.
Do cinema wipes.
And I can have, like, sparkling text and the text can flash. So I'm going to use that to, well, put it bluntly, going whore ourselves out on YouTube, you know? Get some people know...
What we're doing?
Yep.
Trying to do here, anyway?
Because, unfortunately, nobody seems to know Twitch TV except for the geeks.
Yeah.
And we need to pull in the casual geeks.
Yeah, I mean, at least people to see what kind of game's out there. We're just trying to show people how passionate we are about some of these older games as well as the new stuff. I mean, we've been playing new stuff as well. I don't strictly play NES games all the time. So, yeah, my goal is to get a streaming device as well in the near future, and then... I did invest in a laptop that we're actually recording on today, so that you don't hear our signature hum from my computer in the background.
Damn it, Dan.
Okay, so, yeah, that's enough of that. I will murder you, Dan. So, yeah, that's... I mean, I bought this laptop, and, you know, I'm going to use this to record the streaming stuff for my TV, because my computer's not close enough to my TV to make it feasible to record stuff on there directly.
That's the funnest thing with that Elgato, is... Since it has the delay, you know, it also has an output to put to your TV, which is awesome.
Yeah, the pass-through is nice.
The one downside, my computer is about 35 feet from my TV.
Yes.
So anytime I want to, you know, capture from that, I'm going to have a 35-foot USB extension cord running across my rec room.
Yeah, this was my Black Friday purchase, the laptop, so I kind of went in and went, okay, yes, I want something that I can stream with, and maybe occasionally play an older game. I tried running Saints Row the Third on this, and it did not go so well. Half-Life 2 runs pretty smooth on this, which I was surprised with. Even turned up all the settings, it ran fine, so I'm sure it'll be able to handle the video streaming and the recording of the podcast, so it'll give us a little more. Oh, Dan, you're shaking your head at me. What did I do?
Probably not.
Probably not? Are you doubting me?
Yes.
Wow.
I'm giving you incentive.
Okay. I'll prove you wrong.
To succeed.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
All right. Well, I think that's enough discussion of what we have been purchasing for future endeavors. Anything for you, Dan, that you're thinking about getting with regards to our burgeoning empire?
I might get a retro.
A retrode? That would be cool.
Nice.
I thought they're only like $60, but they're like $90.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because that's like...
Yeah, that's
Euros.
Crazy colored money.
Stupid.
Imaginary fake money.
I set up a thing to play Minecraft on Wednesdays, because me and our buddy Scott...
Oh, you're going to start doing that with him?
Yeah. Cool. I did it this Wednesday. And so...
How did that go?
Minecraft Wednesday. I built some stuff.
Cool. I never got into Minecraft. I heard it was fun. I'm
building a castle.
Woo!
Which is what one does in Minecraft.
Apparently. No, you built a baseball stadium in Minecraft once.
I built
half
a baseball stadium.
Is it still abandoned, sitting there unfinished?
No, we wiped the server, and then because we wanted to. Normally we play in survival mode, which you actually have to get the resources for, and then there's enemies and all this stuff, which is pretty fun. But if you just want to build stuff, it gets kind of tiring, because it's like, I want a bunch of glass, so I have to
go mine,
get a bunch of sand, and then put it in a furnace, and the furnace needs coal, and it takes time for it to burn into glass, and then it just becomes like this...
The game part of the game.
Yeah.
And then you need a loom to weave your wheat...
Yeah, and a loom to weave your wheat, and then I make a boat.
No!
But it just took some time, and we kind of just want to build stuff, because I've kind of played all of that stuff already.
Oh, I know.
Except for the very new stuff in Minecraft, because there's, like, apparently there's, like, enchantments and potions and XP and all this stuff. Yeah, there's, like, level ups
in Minecraft. Well, I know Scott is definitely the kind of person I could see... wanting just to build stuff in that game.
Yeah, so we just switched it to creative mode, which you just get unlimited blocks of everything in the game, and you just place whatever you want. So, we're building stuff.
That sounds cool.
I also want to get... There's, like... Because there's an adventure mode in that game where you're just, like, kind of fighting and, like, getting stuff. And some people have made, like, crazy adventure packs for that, where, like, it's almost kind of like a Skyrim-type game. In Minecraft.
So yeah, I never knew that Skyrim, Minecraft had a bunch of mods that could go with it.
They have like a ton of mods. There's like full conversion ones where it's just like zombies or something.
Interesting.
Just like, yeah, there's crazy mods.
How much are they charging for that game now?
I don't know.
Okay.
I got it when it was like
$14. Yeah, you were early on.
I wasn't super early.
But you were you were still in the beta phase.
I wish I got it back in...
Alpha?
When it was like $4. I think I got it for 14
That's
euros.
Still a good price.
I think last I heard 25 or 30 right now.
Okay.
Which isn't too bad.
No, because there's actually a whole team supporting that game.
Yeah, and they keep, like, coming up with new updates, because there's going to be a big update in January.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, changing the redstone,
which is their form of electricity. Yeah, I heard about that.
Which is supposed to be pretty good.
Yeah, the most Minecraft stuff I've seen is just watching the videos and looking at the pictures online. Still, the most impressive thing I ever saw was the Game of Thrones one. That just blew my mind.
Actually, I saw one where it was somebody made Mines of Moria, like in yeah,
the entire Mines of Moria. It was
pretty crazy.
That's
like pretty, underground.
That's kind of scary.
Yeah, it looked pretty awesome.
That is really cool. And of course, I mean, that game is really easy to play and pick up.
Well, what's fun about that game is that you always have these grand designs of making like a baseball stadium, and then you kind of get through like most of it, and you're like, Jesus Christ, it's going to take forever.
That is, yeah, no, I can definitely get.
And then I'm the person who puts a bunch of blocks and then like takes them all down and then puts them again. And I'm like, that looks off. Takes them down, puts them again, and then it's just like, God, I spent like an hour on this small little square footage of land,
10-foot square wall.
Yeah, so I'm planning to do that weekly on Wednesdays as a live stream.
Cool.
And I also want to do. There's two ideas: either play through like a old or retro style game, a Throwback Thursdays.
Ooh, I like that.
That's a good name.
Or to restart my XCOM classic Iron Man.
I say no, Dan. You don't want to hurt yourself that bad.
You know what I say?
No, but I think that would be good video of me like going slowly insane and kind of crying.
I think while you think of a good like set of retro games, why not do the XCOM? I mean, it's not going to last forever.
Well, I think your idea with the Thursday thing would be good with some of the games that like we haven't played when we grew up, like with some of the retro games we didn't play. Like, I know there's several that I didn't play, like Super Metroid I never played through. We talked about that. What else?
I wanted to just do Link to the Past.
Okay. You could do Link to the Past.
But yeah, if it's a game that we haven't played. I was also thinking of doing that because I saw it on a bunch of news stories today or this week, that Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden.
I think
I want to play that.
Our guest on the podcast, Helmick, he actually played through it online.
I want to play it so bad. Dude, they have, like, all the basketball players. Like, Michael Jordan's a character in the game. Kevin Garnett's a character in the game.
Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's, like, my idea for the hip-hop RPG.
Hip-hop the RPG, yes. Copyright.
Dan Copyright, Perez. Yeah. Like,
you already sent a letter to yourself.
I never did anything about it.
You sent a letter to yourself.
It's patented. Yeah.
Hip-hop the RPG, man. You're up-and-coming young MC, and you gotta do battles. The boss battles are all, like, rappers from their prime. And you're being guided by Biggie Smalls and Tupac as ghosts.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the whole story.
That's the whole story?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there's probably some evil MC. We'll just... What's a really whack MC that was...
Dan, I don't think I qualify to answer the question.
Dude, we're very white. Like... Albino-ish challenge.
That I don't like. Never mind. Somebody's okay. Just dumb.
All right.
Nicki Minaj is the end boss.
Sure.
Yeah.
She's pretty terrible.
Now, I was thinking, at that point, you could have that be the first game, and then the second game comes back, and you have to start your record empire, your record company. And then you manage.
No, this is an open world game.
Oh, is that
and then you gotta like shoot.
You got beefs on the street.
Yeah, you got beefs on the street, and you gotta shoot the gangsters.
You know, you
like San Andreas.
You could also change it to an RTS.
No. What's the resource?
The RTS
resource is flow.
Yeah. No, hype.
Hype.
Oh.
Flow and hype, and you gotta manage your.
You gotta have a street team. Yes. They're your peons.
Is that what's hot on the street?
And I was also kind of thinking of Crusader Kings 2, but I don't know how well that would be in live, because I would have to talk a lot to make it kind of interesting, because then it would just be me clicking on a bunch of menus.
Yeah, that game is not visually stunning in any way, shape, or form, but you would.
But it might be kind of funny if I was, like, mispronouncing all of the names.
Yeah, I'm sure we could start up a hate mail account just for that. You mispronounced Charlemagne!
That game
Charles really Magnon?
No, it's like the It's the freaking, like, Welsh Celtic stuff with a bunch of D's and Y's and W's in a row.
Double L's.
Yeah, and, like, F's.
Okay.
And it's like, I don't know what that means. How do you say C-Y-N-D-F-F-W-R?
Cindifer.
Greg.
The great.
Yes.
The cruel.
Uh-huh. A person who is known all throughout history for their great exploits.
And if I can ever get DayZ to work, that would be another live stream.
Yeah.
Well, DayZ to work with the, in conjunction with the live stream. It was working one time, but it would work for like 2 minutes, and then like it would get lagged. Just the live stream, not the game. And then it would come back.
So it'd keep jumping forward.
So I couldn't get it to work really well.
Oh, that's one fun thing I learned is Sony Movie Studio Whatever Suite. You could import, like, so many types of video files. Like, the list when I selected what file type was just massive. Doesn't take FLV.
What?
The default for XSplit. So, has to save all of those as MPEGs. Don't know how that'll turn out, because I haven't played with MPEGs much, but...
Should be easy enough.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyways, that's kind of what we're planning on content-wise as well. I think.
Oh, and we're going to have our podcast during the Christmas Day weekend. It's a Saturday before Christmas Day.
Yeah.
We're going to do like a Game of the Year kind of thing. Not necessarily Game of the Year, but just talk about the games that we liked this year, that we played this year
that
for
works.
The first time.
Yeah, the games that meant something.
Well, I got plenty of work cut out for me. I still got to finish Assassin's Creed 3 and The Walking Dead. Those are the two that's my goal. I must finish both of those games before we talk about end of the year stuff.
Oh, while we're bouncing ideas, so what do you guys think, if I'm going to be recording stuff like Guardian War... I was thinking I'm not going to show a full playthrough because, oh my god, that game is long.
Guardian War is?
Okay. Yeah, it goes on for, I want to say it's about 30 to 40 hours at least.
I say you do it. YouTube,
so,
baby.
I was thinking I'm just going to play through like the opening, give some thoughts, give my, you know, rundown of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Sound like a plan?
Yeah, I say you do whatever you feel like you want to do on that. I think it would be great. You know, because, I mean... Have you looked online? I don't know if there's much in the way of talking about a game like that online.
There's not much.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lost gem. As
well,
Darnell and Chris are both probably listening to this saying, damn straight.
Well, I mean, the 3DO was not a blockbuster system, to say the least, right?
Oh, crappy system. And
the
best
3D what?
3DO.
He was... You didn't, what? Yeah.
And then
no,
course,
you didn't have the 3DO. You had the XI.
No, I've got a 3DO.
No,
oh, no, which
3DO?
One's the other
That's
one?
The Genesis Sega
that's
CD.
That's right, that's right.
But I don't have
the
Panasonic.
Yeah,
I have the Gold Star, the
Gold
cheaper
Star,
one.
Okay, yeah. The
Gold Star was $600 instead of $700 for Panasonic.
I think Darnell's brother had the Panasonic one.
Ooh.
Oh, and such an expensive system to have, like, three games that were good.
You know, there's a game on my Saturn that I've got over there that I wanted, that I never got into. That's an Advance Wars kind of clone. I can't remember the name of it now, though. I've got it right over there. But, yeah, there, it's like a tactical, like, turn-based, you move around units, and, gosh, I can't remember the name.
Was it a Working Design?
Panzer
I think
General?
So, yeah.
Panzer General?
I think it was that what it was called?
No. Dragon, oh.
No, it wasn't no. Dragon. It was like modern military.
Oh,
stuff.
Modern military.
Oh,
I know what game. I don't
yeah.
know the name
can't
of it. I
can't remember the name. It's just escaping me right now.
Just,
Dan's going to walk over and get the game. So, yeah, I mean, because I was a big, huge fan of the Advance Wars series on the portables, on Game Boy Advance, and the DS.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm the only one who played those games out of all three of us.
I played the... First
Iron Storm.
That's what it's
Iron
called.
Iron Storm, yeah.
That's a good game. I played that before. A lot of loading times. It's really annoying.
Well, all of the old disc, you know, systems. Like, that's going to be the funnest thing playing through Guardian War again is
or maybe we
the loads.
Or Dan, maybe we try again to get through Space... What was it? The Sega CD game that I found. Was it Police Knots?
Oh, yeah. Oh. It's a Saturn.
The Saturn. Yeah, no, the one that we found, because it never came out here, right?
They didn't grab me like Snatcher.
No? I played a bunch of Snatcher, like,
Snatcher was pretty awesome.
Snatcher had a great setting.
Well, except the only problem with it is was the way we were playing it. The controller wouldn't get the corners very easily, so the shooting parts were a pain in the ass.
Don't go in the corner. Don't go in. Ah, shot.
But other than that, it was fun. Like, it was playing through that, Dan, and watching it and going, oh, man, I remember this part. So, yeah, that's I think that'll be good, you streaming that. Like I said, I think Super Metroid might be a good one for me to play through and maybe have, you know, either one or both of you guys commentating with me. Like
I could have a lot of comments because
I didn't play that game.
I got when it first came out, and oh man, I was obsessed on that one.
What game?
Super Metroid.
Oh yeah,
probably one of the best. Like, probably one of the best Nintendo properties I've ever played.
Well, the funny thing about that is that I didn't play Super Metroid, but I do remember playing two of the GBA Metroid games. The Fusion and I think it was Zero.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were right.
I played both of those and I was, you know, I'm like, yeah, these are really good. I guess it was because I got into the Metroidvania style games later with the PS2 or the PS1, I should say, with Symphony of the Night. That, I mean, I guess I could go back now and play that Metroid game and appreciate it more.
If you had fun with Fusion, you'll love Super Metroid because I love Super Metroid. I didn't like Fusion.
Okay.
Like, it felt like it was doing a lot of, you know, things from Super Metroid, but not quite to fulfillment.
Okay, that sounds interesting. Yeah, that might be something fun to play.
Plus, I hated that whole evil alien Samus.
God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who'd show up and it's like, well, you gotta run away, because it has all of your weapons, and you have none.
Yeah, Dan doesn't know what we're talking about. I do remember that. Yeah.
Any game with an evil clone of yourself. Shadow Link, Shadow the Hedgehog.
Hey, Shadow the Hedgehog
was
a
clone.
I liked
Was he a clone?
No, he wasn't a clone.
No.
He had a gun.
He did.
He had guns.
I didn't care about the gun part.
Oh, the clone would be Mecha Sonic.
Yeah.
I was the only one who liked playing Sonic Adventure 2 on the Dreamcast. Nobody else liked that game except me.
That game was fine, except when you had to be other characters.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
I just want to be Sonic. Maybe Tails.
Or Shadow, because Shadow was basically playing as Sonic.
I don't want to be that stupid chick who's got to collect a bunch of
stuff.
No,
she was terrible. Rose. And Knuckles was not good because he had
I think also Tails was bad in that one.
Yeah, I want to say his was the mech thing or something like that.
I just want to play a Sonic or a guy that looks exactly like Sonic. That's all I want. Yeah. I just want to go fast.
It's kind of like on Sonic and Knuckles 3, you know, when you hook up Sonic 3 and Sonic and Knuckles, you know, Genesis days.
I knew you could do that. Yeah, I didn't have a Genesis, so I just knew about it.
You could pick, you know, are you going to play through as Sonic, as Tails, or as Knuckles? Tails and Knuckles sucked. I mean, Tails wasn't too bad, but Knuckles couldn't jump as high as Sonic. So all of a sudden, he had new routes to go because you couldn't go the old routes.
He was a chinchilla. Right?
Echidna.
Echidna. Never mind.
He's a chinchilla. He was a beautiful furry thing that we make coats out of.
Sure.
With big,
flowing ears.
Sonic
doesn't look like a hedgehog anyway.
No, he does not.
I don't know what zoo you went to.
No blue ass hedgehogs with sneakers
that turn into
he had socks.
Werehogs.
He had socks.
I saw that.
That means he changed those socks.
He had red shoes too.
And then he decided not to wear pants.
Yeah. He didn't wear a shirt.
That's fine. A lot of people don't wear shirts.
But no pants, that's your line?
Yeah. Well, if you had a choice.
You know, Tails didn't wear pants either.
If you had he's a fox.
And it's hard to find pants that fit with two tails coming
out. So wait a minute. A hedgehog.
He's a fox with two tails. He's a magical animal.
So was Sonic. He was
he was just a hedgehog.
He was a hedgehog who could run like the speed of sound.
Have you seen hedgehogs before?
They don't run the speed of sound.
Yeah, you don't know that.
I do. I've seen hedgehogs.
You don't know that. They start spinning around.
They do stuff when you aren't looking.
Look, if you had a choice, if a guy went, I'm going to wear one article of clothing, pants or shirt, you would go, please wear the pants.
Actually, I decided socks and shoes.
Well, I mean, Knuckles was wearing shoes as well.
Alright, that's the podcast, everybody. See you next week.
Maybe his problem was his feet were tender. He wanted to be a nudist, but Dude, there's spikes and
maybe
stuff
they're
on
not
ground.
Actual shoes and socks. Maybe that's just part of him.
Could be.
That's gross.
You need
that's,
to research this
that's
more?
That's bad.
I'm thinking too much about it.
You are. It was a side-scrolling platformer. You
it's like that
around.
Time when I broke down cars for like 40 minutes.
Yes, yes. This was very scary as well. We're not going to relive that
no.
on the podcast. No.
No.
Tune in next week for a very special Infinite Lives podcast where Dan dissects like
Pixar
the fucking
movies.
Abomination of cars!
Blowing out the mic there, Dan. Too hot. Coming in too hot.
All right. Anyway,
well, yeah. So why don't we talk about some stuff that we've been playing? Oh, I need to finish Sleeping Dogs too. I don't know why that just.
Oh,
you're like lazy,
dude. I was the last one. I was the last one get into
with
Sleeping
the
Dogs. And
what's
I'm
hurt,
done.
Dan? You're lazy with the games. You're the last person to finish Sleeping Dogs.
Okay.
Okay. One
you
thing
gotta, you gotta go. You gotta break it down. You gotta go.
You know, there's one thing I have to say about Sleeping Dogs. I love the game. Awesome game. DLC of Nightmare at North Point, that was awesome. My one complaint, Nightmare at North Point doesn't fit, like, you could select to play it, you know, at any time. There's no point where it feels right to have played it. Because I played it after beating the main game, and it's like, hey, your rewards include, here's some items used in the main game. Well, then it feels like I should have played it earlier or before, but there's enough story that sort of carries over with the ghosts, not
okay.
spoiling things for John, but there's ghosts, and
did
yeah,
you play it then? Okay.
If you played it before you played Sleepy Dogs, then the ghost wouldn't make sense.
No, I was laughing because I nodded my head when John
instead of saying yes,
saying something,
yeah, I
could totally see that. When they listen to
good
anyway,
podcast,
keep
good,
going.
Good podcast etiquette.
Well, that's essentially it. I just didn't like the fact that it didn't fit in anywhere appropriate.
Well, it's like the problem with somebody has to solve with DLC, so that it kind of DLC like that should just fit in.
Yeah, and I know we've listened to people
like Skyrim
talk about.
Does it pretty good, where it just kind of becomes part of the world, Dawnguard.
Yeah.
So it's not like, because like, you even have, in Sleeping Dogs, you have, it's a different menu.
Yeah, when you load
it looks
the
same, but it's like all blue and stuff. So it's like, do you want to play Sleeping Dogs or you want to play Nightmare at North Point? And it's just like, what? Am I downloading a different game?
Well, it's kind of funny because this year, I actually, before Mass Effect 3 came out, I played through 1 and 2 again all the way through to make sure that my Shepard was set up for that game. And this time, I actually bought all the DLC for Mass Effect 2.
Oh, I had all the DLC, because I came in so late.
You played a DLC for number 1?
No, I don't think I did. What was the DLC on that one? I forget
it was,
what it was called.
They had 1.
Yeah, and I forget if I might have played it.
Nightmare at North Point?
No.
Leviathan?
It was something like Fire of the Earth or something, or Coming Down the Sky, Bringing Down the Sky.
Something
yeah.
like that. I did do that. No, I did all 3 with all the DLC.
See, I get it eventually.
Number 2 had great DLC.
It did. It had really good DLC, but again, like
Shadow Broker was awesome.
Again, like you were saying, though, you're not necessarily sure where it fits
yeah.
into the game sometimes. Some of them. Most of the ones, like the like I said, Lair of the Shadow Broker, that was fantastic. I actually really liked, what was the other one? The Kasumi one was good, too.
Oh,
The Stolen Memory was not bad.
I like Kasumi.
Yeah, she was a decent enough character.
That was a cool, like, James Bond-style mission where you're sneaking through in your fancy party clothes.
Yep. Yeah, I like that.
You have your gadgets to see, like, where electricity is flowing, where
mm-hmm.
you need to go.
And then I did the Arrival one, because that was the last piece of
yeah.
2 DLC, right?
That was the carryover to number 3.
Which is good. I actually like that. It gave me a perfect refresher to go, okay, now I know where the bridge is. I don't have to worry about missing out on any storyline stuff.
And it explains, you know, the whole thing of why Shepard is in a lot
where he
of
is,
trouble.
Where he is in the beginning of 3. Yeah, and that I think that might have been, if I had not played that beforehand, I would have been a little lost.
Yeah, it'd be like, why he just saved the world from the giant cyborg baby.
Previously on Mass Effect.
One thing I like, though, with Arrival is, depending on when you play it, it actually changed who the big bad guy you're speaking to was.
When did I play it? I think I played that at the end. No, when did I play it? I can't remember why I played it. But yeah, it was good. It was very, very solid. But what are you playing right now, Dan? Currently. aside from trying to set up Minecraft and other random old games?
So I picked up Minecraft again for the first time in, like, I think 9 months or something.
That's a long hiatus.
Over the Black Friday, I picked up several games. I got Crusader Kings 2, which is pretty awesome.
That is right. That's right up your alley, especially. You love those, like...
Medieval Simulator made by Paradox. I've heard somebody... I looked at a forum and somebody described Paradox interactive games as interactive maps, which is kind of what it is.
That is, yeah. And especially, I think those games appeal to history buffs quite a bit, too.
But a brief rundown of... Yeah, it does. Brief rundown of what Crusader Kings 2 is. Medieval Simulator, you pick one family to play, or one guy in a family to play, like, sometime in the point of medieval history. And
during
you're kind
Crusades?
Of... the Crusades start happening.
Okay.
I think when I started was about, like, I think 1055, which is most of, like,
oh, before the Battle of Hastings.
Yeah, most of those games are usually, like, before or right at the Battle of Hastings, when William the Conqueror takes over England.
Yeah, I'm a little history nerd. I got my cred.
So it's a pretty cool game because, you know, you'll start off as, like, a count or a duke or even a king or emperor, and you kind of build out from there. You take over other lands. You sire children.
So
you marry them off.
You kind of tailor the game when you start out to how difficult or how far you want to ascend.
Yeah,
thinking because like you said, you can start out as like a lowly lord is the lowest, or is
I
it
think count.
Count. Okay.
Baron is the lowest, but it's unplayable.
Okay.
But yeah, there's counts and then counts and lords and dukes and a bunch of it's crazy, like a whole bunch of words that I don't know what they mean.
Well, it's funny, you talk so passionately about these games that even though they're so simplistic in what they do, it's just...
I mean, in simplistic graphically, but everything is uber complex.
Oh,
because, like, even just your children.
Yeah.
Like, who you marry into defines alliances and also defines, like, traits of their children. Like, if you have a son that's really good at martial war, you want to marry him with a woman who's also skilled in battle tactics so that their sons become like really good generals.
Or diplomats.
Yeah,
you
and then if you
too.
Start inbreeding and stuff, you start getting negative stats eventually. Like, it doesn't happen right away.
Well, it's kind of like
the
in
hairy
medieval
palms,
Europe.
The hairy palms and scurvy doesn't show up
they
until
do, they do,
the
do
fourth
a,
children.
Yeah, they do a good thing is that on their portrait, there's a little like blood droplet that means that person's related to you. Like, by blood.
So you know, like, oh, I probably shouldn't...
Not distantly, but they're, like, either, you know, you share grandfathers or granduncles or something like that. Like, yeah, so it's just... It gives you, a little headway. But sometimes that's what you gotta marry into the... That's what they did.
Yeah, and that's why Europe got so messed up.
Yeah, and it's also, like, a cruel game. I mean, like, I don't want to go through the whole, like, my whole playthrough, like, on Thanksgiving when I played it all day. But basically, I started as a count of one of these counties in Wales, and then I built up where I kind of united all of Wales, and I was going to become King of Wales. And then the King of England, after probably 5 civil wars, got their shit together and knocked at my door with more troops than I have, like, people, I think.
Yeah, I think
in the entire Wales. Yeah. So, I don't know what to do. I haven't played it since because I was kind of, like, pissed off. So I might have to marry into the Normans earlier. This week I was also playing The War Z.
Oh, you're still playing that?
Yeah, which is like the Russian copycat version of DayZ, which remarkably runs kind of stable, like much more stable than DayZ.
Yes, Tavarish, we made DayZ game. It runs good.
Oh yeah, there's like when I was buying it, I bought it through PayPal, and there was like a screen that I've never seen from PayPal, and there was like some Russian on it, and I'm just like, oh no, what am I doing?
I'm gonna give
the Russians all of my credit card. But like, there's a lot of people playing that game, and you know, I mean, the reason why I started playing it was I read through a Penny Arcade forum because I was like, when I heard that about that game, because I'm a huge DayZ fan. Yeah, when I heard about that game, I was like, yeah, it's fucking bullshit Russians, man.
They're just stealing a game. And I'm not going to play that. It looks so dumb. And
then you went and bought
And then I saw, like, a forum post about it on Penny Arcade, and I'm like, oh, that does sound pretty good. I'm going to play that. And then, and on Black Friday, they had it for, like, they had the game for, I think, like, 50% off.
Yeah, I remember it was, like, $10 for, like, the starter kit or whatever it was that was, like...
Yeah, well, I mean, technically, the game's not out yet, so you're just buying into the beta.
Yeah.
So I don't know how fishy that's going to be. It's supposed to be, like, kind of more of an MMO, and there's no monthly subscription, but there's a lot of, like, you pay to have this stuff.
Yeah, it's the same
as... But what's weird is that some of the items, like, you can get, like, a knife, and you can, like, that you normally wouldn't find in the game, but you can get a knife, and you can buy it in the store with actual money. And so I was running with, like, some Penny Arcade guys on I think, Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we killed a guy, and we took his tactical knife. We stole $3 from him. That's, like, a $3 item.
So if you steal it, but he respawns, does he
I don't
get
know
it
if
back?
He gets it back, because we have it. Okay. We were using it. We shot that guy dead.
I'd be pissed off if that was the case.
Yeah. Dude, so I'm not going to spend any money on that game other than that stuff. You get money from zombies. But the main difference between that and DayZ is that the zombies and the shooting is a little, like, not as laggy.
Yeah, that was I think that was my biggest problem with playing DayZ.
Yeah, when you shot me in the face.
That was a total
with the weakest gun in the game. I died.
Wasn't the weakest gun? That was
one of the weakest submachine guns, the Bison.
Okay.
It doesn't do that much damage. It's just really quiet.
I did shoot you in the head, though. So
yeah, you shot me in the head, so I just died.
The zombie ran in front of you. Yeah. Like, right in front of you. I'm, like, tracking him, and he's like, oh, crap, there's Dan, but I didn't let go of the trigger fast enough.
Yeah, the weird thing about that game is that it's not as realistic. There's not a lot of... You get a lot of items and stuff like that, and... But in some ways, it's more like an easy game to get into. Because DayZ is like a commitment, and then that might not even pay off anyway.
Yeah, no, I remember the first time I played that before I actually played with you, just futzing around in the game. Like, walking into a town and just being crawling the entire time, and then going into a building and like, oh, look, I found a pile of stuff. This is all garbage.
But I'll save DayZ stuff for the Game of the Year thing, because I'm going to... That's
one of yours?
That's what I'm
going to
be
cool.
talking about. And I'll run through why DayZ's, like... pretty awesome.
No, that sounds good.
I also played through Walking Dead Episode 5, but I can't talk about that.
Don't talk about that stuff, because... So, yeah. I finally bought, you know, during Black Friday type of sales off of Steam. They had it for, what was it, $12.50 for all five?
Yeah.
So.
Well, the funny thing is that I remember having a conversation with Dan about... Right around my birthday, I think it was a couple months ago? Maybe a month and a half ago?
Sure.
We were talking about, you're like, you really need to play this game. And I'm like, I'm going to buy it. And you're like, no, wait for it to be on sale. I'm like, I don't care. I want to buy it. So I bought it at full price. And I played through one episode so far.
All I'll say is that Walking Dead, if I was writing for some, like, a video game blog or a video game website or something like that, which I guess we're kind of
doing that, Dan.
Podcasting for a video. Well, yeah. That would be... definitely in the contention for Game of the Year. Not because so much that it's a
the
good game.
The gameplay-wise itself,
because
yeah.
There's not really that much gameplay. Although the stuff they do is really, really fun and interesting because
yeah.
It kind of gets you into it. But it's not like... I'm not...
It's not constant action. You're not sitting there
well,
playing the game.
I mean, there's
the
no real
time.
Skill
no.
with a lot of the game action.
No, definitely.
But the actual story and the interactive part of the story and making you feel immersive and making you care about characters that, like, yeah.
Pixels on a screen and making you care about these people who are not
yeah.
real is they must, they made a, did a really good job, apparently.
I mean, there in a way, like, I wish I bought it where I had all the episodes at once. Because I bought it when the first three episodes were out and I had to wait for 4 and 5. And those were, like, month and a half waits, and those were pretty cruel.
Okay.
But, and it would have been nice to just play through all of it just, like, in one sitting.
So,
but, in a way, it's also kind of fun in that, like, TV sense, where it's just, like, when they did release it, it's like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing tonight. I'm gonna play this, and it's gonna be great. I've been waiting for it the whole time, and that game didn't disappoint. Like, I don't think at one point I was disappointed.
So if I were to plow through the last four episodes, about how long do you think I should set aside?
I think it's about maybe two and a half hours per episode.
Okay.
So you're thinking like about 8 hours. You
okay.
can do that in 2 days.
I think some episodes are much longer than others, and it also depends on how much you screw around or, like, you know, keep talking to stuff or trying to break the game.
Yeah, I don't do that, but I did.
Well, just trying to experiment and stuff like that.
I did experiment a bit on the first episode because I didn't like either of the choices I got the first time. I was like, wait a minute, there's got to be a way to do this without...
I will say, if you play that game, there's two settings that you want to put on or turn off. I believe that you should turn off the setting where it tells you, when you interact with guys, it will tell you, like, oh, this person liked your action or will remember mm-hmm. you doing this. So it's like a little behind-the-scenes thing.
Yeah.
So I think you should turn that off just so that you're not sure exactly what's going on. I mean, I understand why you would turn it on, just so you know, like, oh, my act just did this. But it's, I find it
seems break the fourth wall.
Yeah, well, because that game is all about, like, immersion and interacting with people. So, I mean, I think it's better to guess, like, did that actually, like, affect that person as much as I thought it did? If the game's actually telling you, kind of loses a little bit of that. But I've started off that game turning off, I forgot what it's called, like, interactive indicators or something. So, if you have it on, it will show, like, the pieces on the screen where you can actually interact with. Or if you mouse over, it will tell you you can interact with this. I turned it off at first because I thought it would be more immersive.
That's frustrating.
Yeah, but there is some, like, sequences where it's, like, timed and you got to do it quick and you're not really sure what you're supposed to be pushing. So, because it's an adventure game and sometimes it's kind of esoteric. Yep. So, I turned that on.
Yeah, our Full Throttle playthrough is a perfect example of that. You look at that screen, you're like, what do I interact with here?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those would be the two options in that way. Turn off all the emotion, whatever, indicators, and then turn on the interactive stuff so that you know what you can at least press.
All right, so yeah, Kevin, I think that should be a goal for both of us to finish Walking Dead.
Before
we talk about Game of the Year stuff.
Considering I just finished Sleeping Dogs, you know, I'm at the point where I was actually starting to play Arkham City again, but yeah, I should probably do something new.
And yeah, I started Arkham City, and I'm completely inside Arkham City. That game is fantastic.
Here's the thing, I started playing it, I got through a good portion of it, and then I just stopped for some reason. I
could tell you why I stopped. I got through a lot of the game, and there's a point without any real spoilers since Dan's playing through now.
Where are you at about Dan?
I just beat Penguin.
Which, I think I might have beaten him too.
So I beat Penguin, so that meant I also beat Solomon Grundy. That's in the subways.
That's right.
Solomon Grundy, born Monday.
Yes, I did that part. I know where you're at approximately.
Tuesday? Something on a Wednesday.
Okay.
What is it?
I don't remember offhand.
Buried on a Thursday.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Born on a Monday.
Solomon Grundy won pants too.
Yes, he does.
So
That's a classic Cartoon Network.
I think I got past further than John did. So I got through...
I got a little further than he did, too. I think I got past that. I don't remember exactly where I stopped.
I got to a point where all of a sudden Joker somehow finds a good weapon supply and arms a bunch of guys with sniper rifles.
I think I was at that point, right around that point,
That
too.
Was the bitchiest thing I played in that whole game. The whole game, I loved the game, except for Ra's al Ghul scene, which I won't describe because... involved flying.
I liked it. I liked that part. So we'll stop talking about it, though.
They're sniper rifles, and essentially it goes from Batman stealth to Sam Fisher stealth. Like, it's so unforgiving. You make a mistake, they shoot you, and you're dead. You restart, you try and get through, they shoot you, you're dead.
Did you do the Deadshot stuff? Any of that?
Not yet.
I found that frustrating. That stuff for me has been frustrating to do. So
I haven't done it. Like, it opened up, and then I don't know what else I'm supposed to do.
That's the thing. That's the thing about it that I didn't like. There wasn't quite enough direction on what you're supposed to do in those.
Well, I think with that game, what they did was that they just put a whole bunch of stuff in there for you to find. Because it's an open world game.
Yeah.
So it's like most of the... Like, all the Riddler stuff is pretty fun. So, like, what's crazy about that game is... kind of, it's more like a GTA game where I'll be like, well, today I want to focus on Riddler trophies. And then I just kind of want to beat up dudes.
Did you finish Arkham Asylum? Did you ever beat that?
No, I didn't like Arkham Asylum that much.
Huh. Hmm.
I mean, I liked it, but I didn't like, because you were always in these confined spaces. And that's why I like Arkham City so much, because I like roaming around the fucking, like, sometimes I just swing around.
I got you. No, I understand Arkham where you're City. Coming from.
But, I mean, yeah, I think it takes, like, when you actually get into the levels and all that stuff, like, that's fine, because that's because you're indoors and you're doing something. Oh, man. The penguin in the sewers, there was this part with, like, six guys with guns, and there was hostages in the middle. Yep. I was the fucking bat.
Yeah.
Nobody saw me.
You feel real good when you do something
Nobody
like that.
Nobody saw me.
Yeah, when you do something really good in that game, it feels epic.
I am the bat.
That's the thing I think I like about those games is that in so many games where you're playing like an iconic character and you're screwing up, you're like, wait a minute, this isn't how he should be. But when you get it, when you get that moment where you're like, yes, this is exactly how the bat would take them out, you're like, yes, this clicks.
I almost want to play through that game again with the Dark Knight Returns skin on. Because they have a ton of skins.
They do.
I was playing the challenge mode with just like with the other skins.
Oh, that's one of the things that's so annoying though, is you could get all those other skins. I don't have them because I don't have the Game of the Year edition. But, you know, if I bought them, you can't use them in the regular game until you beat the regular game once.
That's dumb, too. I didn't like that.
It's like, if you have to pay for the skins, it's paid DLC.
Well, actually, if you have to pay for it, that's...
Yeah, for me, it's paid DLC, so it's like, why am I paying money for something I can't use unless it's challenge mode, but I want to do main story? I can't use it until 30 hours after I bought it.
Well, the thing is that I can understand why they did that, too, because the how serious the story is in that game, it would be kind of silly for Batman the Animated Series version to show up in that.
Probably shouldn't have been paid DLC.
No, it should have just been included in
That's
there.
Why I get Game of the Year edition, kids.
I got
for most games.
I think I got mine for $25.
I got mine for free from John. It's a Christmas present.
I got it for $7.49.
Yeah. Well, I bought it last year during Black Friday, actually, which is why I got it. So
I got Sweeping Dogs for $25. How much did you pay, Dan? Oh.
Yeah, me and you both. High five, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
$49.99.
So, for two of our Sleepy Dogs, we could have got one of yours.
It's okay.
It was $8!
You know what, honestly? The Sleeping Dogs, I would have easily probably paid about $40 for.
The funny thing with Sleeping Dogs is I was telling everybody, get this game, because it's pretty rad, and then it went for like a month and a half, and nobody... No, 2 months!
Oh, yeah.
Because I got that back in August, and it went for like 2 months, and then everybody started buying it. It's like, wow, this is a good game. I know! I played this 2 months ago!
Everyone started buying it because I saw it was on sale on Steam, and I sent out a Facebook message saying, hey, there's a real good game, and Dan's like, fuck you all.
Yeah, people come up to me and be like, hey, you know that Sleeping Dog game? That's pretty good. I know!
I was there!
I got on the ground floor. Wei Shen, what's going on?
You showed me the game when you first got it. I really wanted to get it. The thing is, I was playing Darksiders 2, which isn't too bad, but it's not worth full price, and you can only play about halfway through a game before you just... All of a sudden, you get bored.
I think I did that in the first one that I got for last year's during the holiday sale last year.
Although, the first one, what got me is that game was hard on normal, because your health never replenishes.
No, I got my ass kicked on that game.
You'd have buy potions, but it's hard to get the money, because those potions are worth, like, more money than you get in a dungeon.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was good. The gameplay and the foundation of that was solid. I wanted to get to the parts of the game that I was hearing other podcasts talk about, like...
This is two or one?
One.
Oh, one.
Where they talked about a portal gun being in it, and...
Oh, yeah.
All kinds of crazy, like, random devices in there.
And what I wanted... Number two did one thing really good. It had a difficulty slider in the game menu. So, instead of, are you starting the game, like on Batman, are you starting on easy, normal, or hard, you could change it on the fly. And that's what number one needed, because... I played through too far on normal. I don't want to repeat that, but I don't want to play on normal. It's hard.
Yeah.
Like on Batman, I would have kept playing if I could have had an easy mode for that sniper area, because it just pissed me off.
That's I already fine. Know that that's going to be a game or game series that I'm going to play like 5 years from now and go, it's pretty good!
Which one?
Darksiders.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's pretty good. I should have played this a long time ago, but I'm not going to play that.
Number one was the best Zelda game I've played in a long time.
I want to say, how much did I pay for that? I think it was $5 when I bought it. And that's why I got it. So
I got it for 10.
Yeah.
And it's worth it.
Yeah, no, I got my playtime out of it.
Like with any good game, you have Mark Hamill showing up.
Yep, doing the voice of one of the guys in that.
He's your little partner who pisses you off
so,
the whole game.
So, other game that I want to get to is, or want to play eventually, is The Witcher 2.
I saw you bought that.
Yeah, I finally bought that.
I almost did, but I couldn't pull the trigger, because after my horrible experience with Witcher 1, I did not want to do that
again.
This
is what's insane. Like, I want to play through Witcher 1 so I can play Witcher 2.
Do you need to read all the books?
No, I don't need to read all the books in Polish.
In the original Polish?
No, I don't need to read all the books in Polish. But I just feel like I know that you don't need to play Witcher 1 to play Witcher 2. And Witcher 2 is a far superior game. But I just feel like I want to play
that,
number 1.
I think I'm the same way, too. Like, that's one of the reasons I didn't buy it. Because I would buy that game and I'd be like, it's number 2. I have to play 1 before I can play 2. It's just, that's how those games work. I play 1 before I play 2.
I think once I get through Arkham City and kind of had my fill of maybe some Crusader Kings and stuff, I think I'm just going to just, I want to just get through
Witcher
2. 1
or Witcher 2?
I'm just going to play Witcher 2.
Okay.
Just, fuck it.
But we have the enhanced
edition. Maybe I'll play Witcher 1.
We have the enhanced edition of Witcher 1, Dan. We both bought it at the same time. When it was, like, $3 on Steam.
I ran that, like, 3 weeks ago, and I was like, God damn this stupid game.
Does it not run right?
No, it runs fine. It's just, he runs stupid. And that's an old game. That's, like, I don't know how old.
A couple
it's
years.
It's got to be 5 years.
Yeah, it's
Witcher 2 is only, like, a year and a half, I think, old. So Witcher 1 must be at least four or five years old. And it's just like, God damn. Why do you have to run so dumb? Why is this combat all janky and weird?
I wasn't a fan of the way the combat worked either.
Yeah.
Weird game. But, you know, if you enjoy it, that's great.
But the cool thing is that there's, like, all these stats you can put things into and you can get better in stuff. Like, I like that. Skill trees and stuff.
Okay.
I like skill trees and abilities.
Yeah.
I like upgrading my guy.
I like
tailoring
upgrading
my guy where I'm like, I like to do this kind of stuff. That's what I like in RPGs. Mm-hmm. I also want to play, well, I mentioned it with the Twitch stuff, but I want to play that Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden. It just looks insane.
Okay.
Absolutely insane.
Dan, you're talking too much about it. Just shut up
and
jam.
It's a long ass, like, title for the game. I don't even remember it.
Well, the sequel that they're doing the Kickstarter for, the title for it is, like, 4 lines on the Kickstarter title.
I think it's called the Hoops Barkley Trilogy or something like that. Or the Hoops Barkley Saga is part one. I love that some guy just made a completely insane game and he just went with it. And he's just, yeah. And apparently the first one is, like, really parodying a lot of, like, the JRPG conventions. The usual stuff that they normally do for a JRPG stuff. But, that's the game that, I mean, those are the games I'm kind of playing. I mean, I kind of want to get into PlanetSide 2, but I don't know.
I do, it's free to play, that's the thing, and I really liked the first one, and the second
unless I can get, like, a core group of people to play every night or on certain nights, guaranteed, like, we're gonna play. Like, I don't want to play, because I've tried playing that alone.
It
I played that
work.
For, like, 4 hours
yeah,
alone.
It doesn't work.
It's boring.
Yeah, it is boring.
It feels like I'm playing Battlefield 3, which I'm just kind of lost in. But, and I'm better in Battlefield 3.
Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga.
Hoops Barkley Saga, yeah.
Hoops with a Z.
Well, yeah. Because it's
street.
It's streets.
And future.
Streets.
The game's battle system is the Babby system.
Read the whole title of the
Tale of Games presents Chef Boyardee's Barkley Shut Up and Jam Gaiden, Chapter 1 of the Hoops Barkley Saga.
No, it's supposed to be, like, longer.
No, that's it.
That's the title. That's the whole title right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's long and... Chef Boyardee's? Really? Chef Boyardee.
That's just a guy. You know, when you have an internet persona. It's
Like back in the day. Remember when we were playing all those Apple games? Those, like, programmed by Commander.
Yeah.
Oh, and Bamboo always did something in a, like, Mega Man game. So, you know what I've been starting playing?
Yeah, I was going to say, Kevin, let's move over to you and see what you've been playing.
Fine.
So...
Well, you pretty much told us what you're playing.
Whatever.
So, I finished up Sleepy Dogs, and I, you know, did a little Batman, but I guess I'm going to try and get through Walking Dead. But I did play a little bit, so I picked up Marka Ninja when it was on sale.
I didn't. I should have. I might actually pick that up on Xbox Live, just because...
It's fun.
Yeah.
I've only done the first level, because trying to find time between learning how to do all that video editing stuff.
Yeah.
But did the first level. That game plays so smooth. It feels... It's kind of like with Arkham City, where you feel like Batman. You feel like a ninja, even though it's a... You know, side-scrolling 2D, you know, game, you feel like a ninja. You're really badass in it. And it gives you a lot of rewards for things like, alright, in the final room, you have to save someone from two enemy, you know, assassins, but you get a bonus if they don't detect you. So you had to do things like throw a shuriken at a gong, get their attention, duck down behind one, slash his throat, quickly duck into cover, and it's fun watching the enemies panic when they see you or see what you've done. Like, if you don't hide a body and they come across it, all of a sudden, they're panicking, they're shooting everywhere, they're going crazy. Just a real slick game.
And that's the one where it kind of shows you where you're stealthed in, right? Or like cones of detection and stuff?
Yeah, if you walk, you're good. If you start running, it'll show like sound waves coming off of you.
That's cool.
When you're in the shadow, you're all black. When you're in the light, your whole costume changes to like a, I don't know, sort of a grayish blue color.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, it gives you some real cool visuals, and it plays off the art style really well.
It gives you feedback when you're actually hidden in it or not.
Yeah.
Did you buy that on sale?
Yep.
Yeah,
got it, I think, for like...
$7.50, I think it was?
$7.50,
That's how much they were charging. It was half off.
Yeah, I'm going to get that on the winter sale.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on sale during the winter sale.
Steam has like five more sales they're doing before...
Well, that's just the thing. The greatest thing about that service is that even if you miss the sale this time, you know it's going to be on sale the next time, so you'll pick it up at that point.
Well, and then there's also other services that have good...
So the people at home can't see this, but like...
Yeah, no, I watched...
And there's
I actually watched the quick look of that on... It was Giant Bomb that did it. So I saw that game, and I definitely would like to play that. That's what you started? Or are you playing...
That... Batman, mm-hmm. and I'm probably going to put Batman on hold so I could go through Walking Dead.
Yeah.
And Guardian War, of course.
Yeah.
Got to get something played on that to record and put online.
Yeah, no, that would be cool. Right now I'm not playing much other than I'm still trying to slog my way through Assassin's Creed 3.
So, with...
What about that game? I'm the only one of us who's actually played those games.
I played 1 and 2.
Did you play 1 and 2? I didn't know you played 2. I thought you only played the first one.
I borrowed your 2.
Oh, that's right.
I have 2 Revelations. Never played it. Got it pretty much as... So I actually got a refund from Steam on a game, which is sort of like finding a unicorn. You can't get a refund from Steam. I got a refund from Steam on a game when Ubisoft wouldn't help me out when their whole system was fucked.
Yeah.
And then, in the end, Ubisoft said, well, we want to give you a refund, but we can't because we don't have your money, so instead we'll give you a new game. So it's like, you know what, I'll get Revelations. It's the newest game that is not on the computer.
I really like 2.
You did, and that's surprising that you didn't play Revelations afterwards.
Or Brotherhood.
Brotherhood. That's what I meant.
Revelations, it sounds like it's Bobby. Yeah.
If we want to talk about the Assassin's Creed series, I can talk about the Assassin's Creed series.
Yeah, you can.
I've been a fan of that series since the very first time I saw the concept for it. It perfectly drew me in. But I think we should take a quick break. And then I can go into talking about Assassin's Creed and my qualms and misgivings about it.
Like everybody else in the world?
It's surprising that I'm still playing through that game and I'm still enjoying parts of it. So we'll be back in a few minutes.
Or right away.
And we're back instantaneously, or after whatever doot intro Dan throws in.
That was a great intermission, Dan.
I know.
One of your best ones yet.
Yeah, so creative.
Yeah. You've got a real talent.
Watch, you're just going to splice in intermission. Yeah. And then that's it. So, there's one little rant I want to go off about since we're mentioning Batman so much.
Okay.
So, I forgot the other reason I quit playing it is it's a game for Windows Live. You know, those wonderful games where you have to log into essentially your Xbox Live account.
Yes.
On PC.
Yes.
And if, for some reason, you're disconnected from Xbox Live while playing the game essentially crashes on you. And for a lot of people, this won't be a problem, but if you live in a household where you have two people who might use one account, it is a pain in the ass. So I'll be playing Batman, and this was about a year ago during winterish vacation time. I'd be playing Batman, and Bree would be on couch, you know, doing her own thing, reading a book. And then she'd decide, hey, I want to watch Netflix. The best Netflix machine, as we've talked about, 360 is brilliant for it. So she turns on 360, innocently, all of a sudden my game crashes. Because now she's logged into Xbox Live and I'm not. Such an annoying thing. I mean, at the very least, they should give you like an opportunity, like on the second device to connect, to go, hey, you're already logged in. How about we hold it so you don't screw over somebody's game of Batman or Fallout 3 or any of the five other random games that will have games for Windows Live functionality?
You know, I can never get that to work on my Fallout games on my Steam. I can never get the games for Windows thing to work. Although I might try again, because I think I couldn't recover my password at one point for my Xbox account, which I can now, so I was able to. So
remember one time I couldn't recover it, and I had to call them, like, several times?
That's the thing. That was the problem. Why I was like, I'm not going to deal with that BS. I mean, not to... I know those people now, so... That's the funny thing.
See, what's real bad is, like, on any of the games, like, Fallout 3, if you're just playing Fallout 3... Or I'm playing on computer, Bree goes Netflix on 360, no problem. Except I have Fallout 3 Game of the Year Edition that has the DLC, another gift from John 2 years ago for Christmas.
Hey, I'm a good gift giver.
Yeah, you kick ass at that.
What did I get you last year, Dan? I think I got you...
I don't know, coal?
No.
I don't remember.
I bought you a Dreamcast a couple years ago.
I don't remember.
Where's that Dreamcast, Dan? Where's the Dreamcast?
It's underneath my TV.
Okay.
It's hooked up.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's all.
Maybe.
But what's annoying is if you don't have DLC, you're good. If you have DLC, that's when it'll kick you out of the game because it won't let you have DLC without being online to prove you didn't pirate the DLC, even though you could have pirated the game.
I didn't have that problem. I have the Game of the Year edition, and I was able to play with the DLC without being signed into Windows Live.
You never... So that game was a little different than Batman.
Oh, okay. And no, that's the thing. Batman's totally different, I understand.
Yeah, and Batman, the big thing was they had the free DLC that came with the original game.
Which I got.
To do Catwoman.
Catwoman and Robin.
Yeah, which essentially was there just as a, you know, hey, we don't want you to buy the game and then sell it back and then... Somebody else buys it pre-owned.
Yep.
And because of that, the Catwoman thing, as soon as Bree turned on 360, I get kicked out of the game because it's integrated into the game.
Well, yeah, because also Fallout was a choice. You didn't have to use
Windows
Live.
Yeah.
Batman, you did. Okay, yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
And I had a messed up experience with that with GTA 4.
Yeah, because
I bought
about
that recently because it. I mean, I played GTA 4 and all the...
Oh, yeah, we played that on the 360s.
Yeah, yeah, but yeah. Then it was, like, for $5 or something on Steam for all the downloadable episodes and
the
stuff.
Complete edition.
The complete edition. GTA 4. So I just bought it, and I was just going through it. And that requires...
No, go ahead. That requires,
that requires Games for Windows Live, and it says that, oh, you can't play this unless you log in. And then one time... the internet connection went down, and then I went to go play that, and it said, like, no, you can't play this without logging in. I'm like, God damn it. So, I essentially just started a new game, and then went to the menu, and then went to load game, because it didn't give me an option to load game from the start menu. So, when I loaded the game, it was working fine, just offline. I don't know if it's all messed up now. I have no idea.
You haven't gone back and played since then?
I haven't played that since the Black Friday Thanksgiving week started because I've been playing all the new stuff.
Cool.
I remember when I was playing Warhammer Dawn of War 2, and I already canceled my Xbox Live Gold.
Yes.
And so I was trying to play that online with one of her friends, co-op, and it kept saying that, no, you need an Xbox Live subscription to play this online. And I was like, bullshit. And, I don't know, after trying it a few times and restarting the game, and then it just worked.
Sure.
I don't know. Such a stupid system.
That is a pretty dumb system.
And with all things Microsoft, you're not really sure if they're like, even still doing it, or what? Like, is that still a thing?
See, I thought they ended it a long time ago, then Batman had it, and that's a year ago, and then nothing else had
it. I don't know if it's still a thing. Like, I don't know.
Well, this laptop's got Windows 8 on it. And it actually has a like an app, app that you can load into your Xbox Live profile on it. So,
but yeah, the Games for Windows Live. I don't know if they're still doing that for PC games. Which PC games? What's going on?
I don't think.
On.
I think that's phased out at this point. So they're going strictly with the Xbox app on the Windows 8 thing. That's what's going to be going forward.
And I don't get any achievements on Batman on Xbox Live. I get Steam achievements.
Yeah, you know why? Because you're playing on Steam.
I know, but I'm signing into the Xbox Live thing. I should be able to get achievements.
Dan got Fallout achievements. I remember that.
I got Fallout achievements on Xbox.
I don't know, Dan.
Playing on PC.
Take it up with Xbox.
No. I got my Steam achievements.
Okay, that's good. What do those mean?
I like when you guys play a game, I like looking at compare achievements to my own. And then I go, ha ha.
Sometimes it's fun. Like on Saints Row the Third, where, you know, you had the three different chapter endings, and you could do something like blow up the tower or save the tower. And you could look at, hey, I wonder, what did John do? Did he blow up the tower? What did Dan do? Did he kill whoever or whatever?
I saved the tower. That was a pimp pad.
I forget. I probably saved it.
The first time I blew it up accidentally, because... it said, run out of there, get out of the building, and then it didn't show up saying you could disarm it until I was just hitting the load spot of I ran away from the building. And it flashed real quick, hey, want to disarm it? Done. Boom.
My best Steam achievement was on XCOM. Beat a mission in 5 turns or less on classic or in impossible difficulty. I don't know how that happened. It just happened.
How's your save doing on that? a heavy
sigh. I would shoot you in the face with a plasma rifle.
You'd miss.
I'd miss.
Yeah, 95% chance.
I'd miss and then get mauled by a freaking berserker.
Yep. Because he'd move up to you and then stab you in the chest.
Or sectopod.
Or three chrysalids will run up and...
Cyberdiss.
That's an error game I need to get back to, because I beat the alien base, I got the PsyOps building just about built, and then Sleepy Dogs came along.
Gotta finish it. Finish that game.
Yeah.
I wonder how Dan H. is gonna play, because he built out his whole base without moving forward, and you have to build certain things.
Yeah, no, I think he'll get certain things.
No, but he has no space.
But you can
destroy.
Stuff, I guess. So.
I don't know.
Destroy some of those power plants he has.
I didn't fill out my whole thing. I'm not crazy.
I never got the achievement where I built out to the bottom.
Oh, I did. I did that.
I never did that my first playthrough.
My first playthrough was fun because the thermal vent was all the way on the bottom, so I had to build all the way down to get it there. But the second playthrough, the thermal vent was in the second row, and I was like, okay, I can do this.
My first playthrough is on a second row right off of the elevator shaft. So it's like, sweet.
Yeah.
But that game went to crap when I had, it's the day before, you know, payday, mm-hmm. and I had 5 countries maxed out in terror. Yeah. And I already lost someone in Africa. And it's like, I'm about to lose the rest of Africa and South America.
Africa's key. Best place to build a base.
Oh, so much money.
Yep.
30%.
Yeah.
Every payday, I now have more money than I could go through.
Yep.
Such a great feeling.
It is a great game.
And if you don't start there, satellite bomb them right away.
Yeah. So anyways, should I talk about Assassin's Creed 3?
Yes.
Man. Yeah, so, I mean, I played Assassin's Creed 1. Dan, you played Assassin's Creed 1.
I bought Assassin's Creed 1. I was the first one to buy it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I got my copy from Gamefly, because I don't think I was working at the time.
That wasn't the best of games.
No, the concept of that game was great. The like, promise of it was fantastic.
The cities were good.
The cities were beautiful. I loved just, like, running through ancient Jerusalem, like, scaling tall buildings and syncing up. Yeah, that was where I got the most zen in that game, was when I would be trying to make it to the next watch point, or the next sync point, and then making my way through the city, and then getting up the tower as quickly as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And then that feeling, that sense of awe when it does the camera spin, and then you jump off into the bale of hay, you know, 500 feet, and not a scratch on it.
Was it Acker?
Acker,
where there was that church tower that was, like, super, super high, like, one of the highest points.
I think, was it Acker, or was it, I remember you could go on the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem.
But I think there was a church with a tower that was, like, one of
I
the
I
want to
say, yeah, points. There was an achievement, though, for climbing the highest point, if I remember correctly. But yeah, that would, like, the first time I would go into any one of those cities, that would be what I would do, is, oh, gotta get maxed out all the viewpoints. And the way that game worked is
unless you couldn't get to a certain
unless point. You couldn't get to it, yeah, no, the city was blocked off in that first game, where it's like, nope, you can't go here yet. Your memory is not complete.
Sure.
But I think the most frustrating thing about that game that you and I both talked about was that there were only 3 mission types.
Yeah.
And they just recycled them 3 times.
I'm going to get 2 and then go kill the guy.
See, I was the exact opposite. I'm like, no, I must know as much as I can about my target. It didn't matter.
It did not matter. Remember that guy on the boat that you're trying to, like, almost sneak all the way up mm-hmm. to kill this guy? You kill him, they go crazy on you anyway. Yes.
Yeah, I know.
You might as well just run up to him and just stab him in the face and then run out of there.
Yeah.
It's faster.
But anyways, so the promise of that game was fantastic. You and I played through that. I think we were both of the same mindset that, yeah, this is a really cool concept, but I want more of a game in it. And then Assassin's Creed 2 came out, and I bought that right away. You bought that later, though, didn't you? Oh, no, you borrowed my copy.
Borrowed it from you.
So I played through that whole game, and I was like, this game is fantastic. Oh, my God. They made the actual storyline assassination missions worthwhile. Like, going through these game, the storyline... You actually, it was integrated into the story. It's not just like, go to this spot and eavesdrop.
It was like actual missions, too.
Yeah. You actually had missions. Ezio was a good enough character. I really liked Altair. I thought he was a really cool character.
Yeah, I would hope that they would go back to him.
I was hoping.
I don't
really
think
hoping.
That's going to happen.
No, I don't think it's ever going to happen, except for the brief glimpses we've gotten in the other Assassin's Creed games. Revelations, I think. And then he did show up. Did he show up in 2? Did you have one mission where you had a flashback?
I think so.
I want to say that was right. But yeah, that game was just... I really loved the... Because you could buy the buildings in the second game, too, if I remember correctly. That's where they introduced that. And you make your money based on, like, owning buildings and collecting your income.
And then upgrading your little villa.
Your villa, yep.
I like collecting paintings. I would just buy all the paintings.
Yeah, that was my goal, too. When I started raking in the money, I'm like, I must have a beautiful art gallery at my extravagant villa. Ezio, you come visit. You visit and look at the paintings. Oh, here is the armory. Oh, no, you don't look at those.
Yeah, you built buildings around your villa.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like a thing. I built the whorehouse.
The only thing I didn't do in that game, that I've never been big on, like, the whole collecting ones, like, yeah, the 100 flags or feathers or whatever they were, and then the video thing that they did in the second one where you had to...
I don't know if I got the whole video.
I did not. I was not willing to go through a vague series of clues to
I might have just around. Watched the video on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's okay. When you when you first saw a couple glimpses of that video, it was really like, what is going on? Yeah,
you were very, very excited to find out what the whole video was, but I just didn't have the patience. And then, of course, they did two more games in the same storyline. So you had Brotherhood, which I will attest, I believe, as many people have said, that is the best one of the series so far. Because they had everything that 2 had.
Mm-hmm.
But then they built on it and added just enough.
Brotherhood
yeah,
stuff.
The Brotherhood stuff was fantastic in that game. You felt like such a badass just walking through the through a city, and then you just hear that little eagle noise, and then you just wave your hand, and you see your crew just come out of the sky or out of nowhere and just jump on some dudes and kill them. It was so satisfying.
Bunch of medieval ninjas.
Yep. And then you would level them up, and you would see them progress. Like, they'd look different based on what level they were. So when you get everybody to max level, like the assassin level, they would be decked out almost similar to you. Mm-hmm. And they'd have all the best weapons and armor. And your character had armor in that. You didn't have armor in the first game, I remember correctly.
Even in just regular Assassin's Creed 2, you could upgrade stuff.
Yeah, you could upgrade your weapons and your armor. You didn't do that in the first game, if I remember. Nope. No, there was none of that. So yeah, They gave you more weapons, but they didn't. You couldn't upgrade those same.
Every
weapons.
Time you like completed a mission, they're like, "Oh, you unlock like
here's so your
you
throwing can, knives." Yeah, those are my favorite. The first game, I love the throwing knives. Yep, just standing on top on a building higher up and seeing a guy on the rooftop and just going.
And I need more throwing knives. I'm just going to steal it from people.
Yep, I'm going to murder that guy.
That makes sense.
Sure, totally makes sense. So yeah, playing through that Brotherhood, which was my favorite. And, the storyline was good. It still had a pretty good storyline involved with it. You were getting a significant progression, I guess, you felt in that story.
Uh-huh.
And then Revelations came out, and I bought that one. I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep going. I've got to find out what happens, because...
There was no Revelations, huh?
Hey, there was storyline stuff. I don't hate that game as much as other people do. There are aspects of that game that I really don't like. The tower defense mode that they added to that game was just... I played it the only when I had to, which I think was once, and then I never did it again.
I kind of don't like tower defense.
I don't either. That's why I didn't like this
part. I think I liked it once in a long time ago, but...
When it was a concept early on, I think I played some tower defense games, but I don't... I'm not a big fan of that.
I hate when they tack it into saying where it doesn't belong. Like, I remember Final Fantasy VII had tower defense. Remember that whole enemies coming up the mountain to get to the rebel base, or... I haven't played that game in so long.
Wasn't that 6?
No.
Six had defense points where you had to move... There was one point with Moogles, and there was one point where you were... Your whole team trying to defend against the Espers, if I remember correctly. Or you were trying to...
Try and protect Bannon and the Espers.
Yes.
But Final Fantasy VII had a tower defense where you built catapults, you set up your rock traps, and...
It didn't work in the Assassin's Creed game. I just didn't like the way they kludged that in there. Everything else about that game, gameplay-wise, was fine.
Mm-hmm. If you like tower defense, just... Put it into a game that's a tower defense game.
Yeah. And then the storyline stuff was fine, I guess. I'd probably have to refresh myself on that story just exactly. I know there's some revelatory stuff that I don't want to talk about in case you do ever decide to play it, because it is a good story. The storyline, and the thing I was really hoping for that I haven't, that throughout those games, is that I would get a better, more and more of a chance to take on Desmond's role. Because he's supposed to be, like, you're doing all this stuff so that he can become this assassin and help save the world.
It feels like they wrapped that sci-fi story around it to do something with it, but they just never did, because it's more expected that they're going to have, like, some time period with an assassin in it. And I kind of wish they just made that game.
Well, and that's
instead of having the sci-fi stuff around it.
Just a straight up like.
Like, why not? Yeah. Like, just make Assassin's Creed, and then you could say that these guys are related or something, or down the line, just make a bunch of time periods.
Oh, so. But that's. I think I'm the opposite. I actually like the sci-fi portion.
Well, no, I mean, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you're not going to do it.
If you're not going to do it right, or pay it off, which
yeah,
is.
Yeah, that's
which
the
is...
thing. They're not paying it off, so why did you even make this part of the game?
Well, that brings me to Assassin's Creed 3, which is actually, I feel, has done the best job of paying off some of that stuff. Because you're actually going on missions in that as Desmond.
Mm.
Not frequently enough, in my opinion, but there's these intermission points where you come out of the Animus, and it's like, oh, we found something, we have to go investigate it. And then I'm playing as Desmond, as you know, and he's got his assassin powers.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten a chance to like stalk or fight anybody as Desmond yet, but I'm getting that whole like parkour style, traversal, and then using Eagle Vision to find a target and sneaking my way past guys. I'm getting that portion of it, which Eagle I'm happy Vision. With. Yeah, Eagle Vision. I remember that was the big thing in Assassin's Creed 1, especially that ending. You're like, wait, I just finished everything, and what do? Oh, I turn on Eagle Vision.
Look at the walls.
And then my brain goes crazy.
Look at the walls. It's ending.
Yep. Oh, look, you can walk into that room you could see that whole time and get on that computer. Yeah. Okay. Less said about that, the better. Kevin, if you ever do want to play through Assassin's Creed, just watch videos for Assassin's Creed 1 to get a gist of the story, and then start playing Assassin's Creed 2.
I got number two Revelation, so I'm
well. There's two,
one
and then there's
third
Revelations.
There, and there's Brotherhood
and
between.
Brotherhood. Yeah, two Brotherhood Revelations. So,
but yeah. So what do you think of Assassin's Creed 3 so far?
I like the story. I really do. Like the storyline is really good. I like the fact that it's set in a completely different area. I will say that the city traversal stuff isn't as much fun, I think, as it was in the previous games.
That's what it looks like.
Stuff I've listened to, stuff I've read, that's what people are saying. It's just...
Boston
the fact that
in colonial times is not
Boston,
really
New York,
interesting.
And, what's the third city?
Philadelphia.
Are just not, it's not as compelling as
especially
Ocker.
In colonial times, yeah. It's not interesting. If it was like
1800s?
If it was like New York, Gangs of New York time, that might be pretty cool.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
See, that's what helped out the first two, is you were in cities that were ancient even then.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So they were built.
Going through ancient European cities in...
Venice was rad.
Oh, it was beautiful.
See, I didn't play those, but just watching it, I mean, those cities were amazing.
And they were epic. Like, those towers that you could climb, like, the mm-hmm. sense of verticality in those was a lot better. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things. I feel like I'm running around on the ground a lot more in this
Seems
one.
Seems like a really bad oversight.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like
they,
what were they thinking?
They have
that?
A really good, like, it's, oh, this is a cool era to set it in. The American Revolution
yeah.
is a cool... It's a very interesting period of time to explore and actually tool around in.
And no
the,
games really do that.
But the game, yeah, no games do that. But the gameplay itself doesn't necessarily fit as well into that time period. So the wilderness exploration stuff is cool because you've got these huge trees and, you know, these huge epic wilderness
yeah.
vistas that you're looking at, and you can traverse those like you'd be traversing through those big cities. But... It's just, I don't know, something's
not... You don't
not,
really do it that much.
It's not grabbing me as well as it was. Well, I'm not doing it as much because it's got fast travel in it.
Yeah.
So I
well,
just,
and then from what I heard is that the hunting is not really that key. And
it's not. I mean, you can...
And,
oh,
and exploring the wilderness is not really that key.
No, and that brings me to the next thing where I'm not so happy about that game is the way the economy works in that game. You don't have buildings that you can buy anymore.
Yeah.
And that pisses me off. I loved being a land baron in that game and getting enough money to buy a place and being like, okay, that place is going to generate money for me now. Now you have to do crafting, and the menu system in that is so...
Yeah.
It's too much. Like, there's too many subsystems to go through to get to make that worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the... I mean, I've crafted some things. The only things I've crafted in that game so far... is weapons for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I have not crafted anything to try and make myself money or send out caravans or anything like that. And I've been okay so far. And I think that's generally because, for weapon-wise, I only use the hidden blade or
yeah.
the tomahawk. Because I know the combat so well, I don't have to worry about getting hurt or damaged in any way. I mean, the only time something is even remotely threatening me is if they're about to shoot me, like there's a line of guys, and then I just have to find the nearest guy and use him as a human shield to make sure that that shot goes off.
I also feel like when I was watching you fight, like, especially after the two Batman games,
mm-hmm.
like, the fighting looks kind of dated now.
It's still simplistic, but it's I think it's adequately, it's still satisfying when you do get a big group of guys together and you systematically take them out one by one. The thing I don't like that they did was they made certain guys immune to the instant kill. Mm-hmm. So there's the bigger guys now with, like, the heavy weapons who you can't actually counter-kill. And it's just, I'm like, wait, I'm an assassin. I should be able to, sure, make the timing or make it a button
make
press.
Make it hard.
Make it a button press or something different that I have to do to make sure I instant-kill that guy. But don't just make it so that I have to break his defense with one attack and then just keep hacking him until he dies, and then I can kill him that way. And then there's, like, you know, elite soldiers are the same way. It's like, I have to disarm them first before I can actually try to attack them enough to kill them.
That sounds clumsy for a game that's all about you being a badass assassin.
Exactly. I mean, I've got the skills to do this stuff. I should be able to do it. But the character, like Connor himself, is a really cool character. I like the fact that you go with that character from beginning to end. Like, you're starting out with him really young, and then you go through his life, and you see why he becomes an assassin, and what the motivation is there. With Altair, it was just like, yeah, he's an assassin. We're going from there.
Well, then he has to, like, reprove himself.
Yeah, and he has to reprove himself. Like, there's adversity, but he was already established. He was an assassin. You got more of his, like, motivation in the other games, the later games, when they would flash back to him. Ezio was, of course, you know, you got as a teenager, and he was a very full, well-developed character that you got to see go from, like, teenager to old man. I will say that the beginning of Assassin's Creed 3, the twist that they have is pretty cool, because you watched me play the beginning of that, Dan, right?
Oh, where you're that other
your
guy?
The other guy, finding out what his relation is.
Yeah, I know what his relation
is. Yeah, so you know, Kevin, do you care, or do you want me to...
spoil away.
Okay, yeah, so spoilers. So yeah, it's his dad.
Who?
Yeah, you start out the game playing as Connor's father. And
he comes over to America, then he has like a...
Yeah, well, and you find out what... there's an even better twist about that. Like, what his motivation is, like, why...
Spoilers.
Yeah, spoilers. His father's a Templar. Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
That was awesome. Like, you're playing this Assassin's Creed game, you start out, you're like, okay, I'm an assassin, you know, I'm doing all the assassination stuff. Okay, this is probably a tutorial to kind of get me used to the game, and, like, okay, we'll establish this assassin going over to the Americas to establish an Assassin's Creed. And then, yeah, you near the end of his sequence, he takes a ring off a guy... And then he has a meeting with his cronies, who he's been working with this whole time. And one of the characters who has been his contact there the whole time, he says, "All right, you've proven yourself, my brothers. Do you think this is correct? Let's induct you. Welcome to the Templars." And I literally dropped my controller. I was like, "Oh shit, no way!" And Dan was actually, or Helmick was here at the same time, listening to me play it. And when that happened, he was like, "What?" So that's kind of cool. Storytelling part of it was a really good twist.
That is, wow.
Yeah.
That is mind-blowing.
Well, and you play as his father for, I want to say a good four hours. Yeah, 4 hours or so as his father, setting up a whole bunch of stuff. And then it's like, okay, well, we're out of there. Because I got, like, all the viewpoints in Boston with his father. Because that's my mindset. I'm like, I'm going to get all the viewpoints. I can just wander around with Haytham, I believe his name is.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
one thing I love doing on games that are open world is I always have, like, something I need knock out early.
Yeah, well, and I'm a big fan of having all the map available so I can see where everything is.
Yeah.
So I know where my routes are when I'm trying to escape guys.
It's better pick it up early than, oh crap, I'm being hunted down, where do I go? I wish I had a map. Note to self, go back later, fill in my map.
So I think one of the frustrating things about the game is... the way that the missions work now, they've done this since 2, where they had the, like, optional objectives to get full synchronization.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I don't know, it's just maybe a nagging OCD part of myself where I succeeded in the mission, I should get a full sync. I should get a bonus for doing these things. These shouldn't be part of the actual full mission completion that they say. So there's several times where, like, the AI fucks up, and I'm going through, like, my fourth time playing through a certain type of mission, trying to beat it with all the bonus objectives, and then I just go, you know what, I'm done, I need to finish this.
We saw you do that, what, last week, week before? We were getting ready to do the podcast, John's playing a little Assassin's Creed 3, and that mission...
Oh, was that the one where it was outside the camp? Yeah, the colonel. And I kept going in one direction, and yep. It turns out the way to do it was to go the other direction. So I went left, and it only took me like 3 tries that time to do it, to make it through without getting seen. And I got up on a tree branch and air assassinated him, got all the bonus objectives on that one. I was like, yes, thank you for giving me any kind of indication that I couldn't do it from the other direction.
Yeah, watching you do that kept being detected, and eventually you're like, fuck it. And you just run through there.
Yeah, and there's just so many of the missions in that that it's like, you must do it undetected. And the AI is I think, much more aggressive in this one about, like, spotting you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know, there's just something, it seems off. And of course, I know they patched this recently, but I think I played the first one of these before the patch, was the goddamn chase missions.
Oh, yeah.
I had one of the chase missions, like the first one, where I literally chased the guy around about 4 times, because he goes on one path. It's mm-hmm. a set route that he goes on. So after the second time going through it, as I was going through it the second time, I'm like, he's going through a set path, isn't he? Because it used to be dynamic. I, as far as I remember, when you would chase guys, it used to be somewhat dynamic. Because you would catch random guys who would go in random directions.
Okay.
So, like, if there was a pickpocket, you remember how you could catch those guys? But this was all scripted, so it was all in one direction. So he was dropping coins at the same spots every time to make people come to try and block me. So I eventually did what I heard other people did, and I knew there was a spot where he goes through that I could cut him off on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to that first spot, that spot where he's going to run through, and of course I found out what other people said. You have to tackle him from the back. So I tried to run at him and tackle him, and he just ran past me. I was like, why can't I tackle him here?
You have to tackle
him from the back. So I let him run past me the second time that happened, and I tackled him.
That is janky.
It's dumb, because you feel like the way that mission is set up, it's like, I should be able to catch this guy. But no, he always stays at the same distance away from you. He doesn't ever feel like I can catch up to him, even when I'm trying to cut off as much as I can, going around corners and, you know, because if you try to jump over things and, you know, take a shortcut, like cut a straighter path, you'll lose him.
Mm-hmm.
It'll give you that mission. It's like, you need to stay closer to your target. Even when I did that cheating way where I knew he was going to come through that path, it flashed a couple times and said, you need to get closer to your target. But I knew I would be able to get it because he'd come towards me. Just things like that, decisions like that just frustrate me.
Yeah.
I have to finish it because I want to know what happens at the end of that story.
Yeah, it sounds like story is probably going to be pretty good, especially just seeing where Connor comes from, where he'll end up at.
And it's cool, I mean, the whole sci-fi element actually does get really integrated into the story, which is kind of why I want you guys to play through it some more, so we can have those random crazy discussions about about what exactly is going on with the Assassin's Creed universe.
Yeah, like in number 2 when they start talking to you.
Yes, directly to Desmond.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, talking what? To you, Desmond.
What's going on?
It gets even crazier. That's all I can say. It gets a little more esoteric even. So yeah, that's pretty much what I'm playing right now and trying to finish.
I still think they should have set it back in ancient Aztec times.
Okay.
Be a jaguar warrior.
Okay.
And Dan, what buildings would be even worse? It's
trees, and there's fucking taller temples than they had in
But they're temples.
They're pyramids.
They aren't pyramids. All next to each other.
They are.
You want to go to Chichen Itza?
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to go do all that stuff. Okay. And there's a whole lot of jungle. So it'd just be all jungle.
Okay.
A lot of hunting.
Yeah, it would be rad. All
right. We'll start that design document up. You can submit that to Ubisoft and say Assassin's Creed.
Or shit, just or in China.
Mayan Warrior.
I was thinking China. So.
China would be cool.
Ancient Chinese secret.
Yeah, ancient Chinese Templars.
That's the ancient Chinese
Marco
secret.
Marco Polo is a Templar.
Oh, man. No, he'd be a good guy, I think. They made most of, like, the explorer types the good guys.
He'd be an assassin.
Yeah.
Marco Polo the Assassin.
Not an assassin necessarily, but like Da Vinci,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Da Vinci was an assassin?
No, he was just an
ally.
He was
just helping out the assassins. Yeah, and I haven't seen, like, I had a meeting with Benjamin Franklin at one point in the game early on, and I thought, I'm like, oh, he's going to be my, like, Da Vinci in this game. No. Never seen him.
Aww.
Seen him once, I think, at the
signing. Have you met George Washington?
Yes, I've met George Washington a couple times.
What other revolutionary figures have you met?
God, I'm trying to remember the general.
Who
was the general on Bunker Hill? I don't remember his name, but he was there. Paul Revere. That Paul Revere mission was silly.
Was there three guys?
No.
It's historically inaccurate.
There was me, and there was Paul Revere.
Historically
inaccurate. And Paul Revere was riding on the back of my horse. No, there was another guy who went off to do something else, to light the lantern.
There was actually three guys, and I think one of them was a black guy.
Well, the mission is Paul Revere and you riding on the back of your horse,
going,
you need to go this way. No, go this way. Oh,
did
you're
they
on
have
the right
Boston
track.
Massacre?
Yes, actually they do.
Did they have Crispus Attucks? The first person who ever died in the American Revolution was a African slave, Crispus Attucks. No, he was a freeman.
I'd have to look through that again if I remember that. But they did have the Boston Massacre in there.
That's cool.
Your character is actually there, and it, like, there's an integral reason, like, what happens to set it off.
John Adams?
Yeah, I think I've seen him. Yep.
Thomas Paine.
Samuel Adams.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. John Adams' brother.
You actually talked to him more than you talked to John.
How about
Adams.
Benedict Arnold?
No, I have not seen him yet.
That
I
would
have
be
heard,
interesting.
I have. Well, no, I've heard the. Have you heard about the DLC that they're doing for this?
A Benedict Arnold DLC?
No, the way the DLC is supposed to work is it's supposed to be like an alternate timeline where George Washington, instead of becoming president of America, becomes king.
Ooh.
So it's like an alternate skew
that's
on what
cool.
would happen if he became tyrannical and less.
Yeah, I would have assumed that they could
benevolent.
Have had, yeah, I would have assumed that they could have done a good story job with Benedict Arnold because he was a hero for half the war.
Well, I think I'm right now at the point where I'm right after
he
the
was
declaration.
Like the most impressive general in the revolutionary side for a while until he turned.
Did he turn later in the war?
Yeah,
he turned. Okay, so I might get there. I'm not there
he turned
yet.
Like
so.
In the middle because pretty much nobody like gave him too much respect for the stuff that he was doing.
So he felt underappreciated.
He was out of the you know, certain people just get favored.
Mm-hmm.
He was not one of the favored.
Okay.
People.
But he was super effective and he felt
yeah,
slighted.
And then he felt slighted,
okay.
so he just turned over to the British cause and then he became Benedict Arnold.
Well,
that would have been, yeah, he could have been like a Templar or something.
Another
anyway.
Positive thing I will say about the game is the naval stuff is really cool. I really like the naval stuff. And the treasure hunting, the maps in those, because there's a side quest thing similar to the, what did they have in the second one? Was it the underground temples that you had in Assassin's Creed 2?
Yeah.
So they have it's similar to those where you have like very cool like parkour only stealthy type elements where you're going through this cool little sequence to recover these treasure map pieces.
Now, do they handle any of the slavery issue or anything like that?
Nope.
Yeah, I guess it's just a video game.
Yeah, it's just a video game.
Yeah, that's a poor excuse. you make a super serious story, then like on something that should be included, you're like, it's just a video game. But it is just.
Although the trainer for you, the guy, his name Achilles, he's a black guy.
All right. Do they handle any of like the Native American stuff? Like because
Connor's an actual Indian. There's a couple of period like a couple of missions that come through the game where like his people. I don't want to talk about it too much in detail, but I mean basically, your people have to be on this land because you're defending something there. That is crucial to the future that Desmond is at. So they don't want to move. So there's a couple periods where people come up like, we're trying to move you off your land while you have to defend the people and tell them, no, you're not going to buy their land. So
yeah,
they do have that sort of...
Because they think most of the Native American peoples like sided with the British.
No, they did not. These people did not.
Oh,
and,
okay.
Oh, man.
Not all of them, but I think a lot of them did.
And I don't get why the revolutionary fighters are enemies in that game to me. I am on their side, and yet they're all red dots. So if I do something weird or suspicious,
well, I thought that's what they were trying for. You could be on either side or something. Right?
No, you're straight up revolutionary.
Oh, George Washington's an assassin.
No, he's not an assassin.
He's a Templar?
No, he's not a Templar. As far as I know, he's not a Templar.
General Cornwallis is a Templar?
Haven't seen Cornwallis yet.
George Washington says
from what they've told me, from what I've seen in the storyline so far, the Templars are trying to say that they didn't actually want this war.
Yeah.
So the war has just kind of happened, and now we're dealing with what's going on here.
Fucking stamp tax.
Yeah. Oh, you're at the Boston Tea Party. Did you show up at all?
Did you throw some tea
over the side?
Were you dressed up as an Indian?
No, I was not. Of course. I'm dressed up as an Indian. That's what my assassin looks like.
I know, but he doesn't look like...
I had a bow and arrow.
Okay, sure.
I had a tomahawk.
Sure.
Had my assassin cloak up.
Okay.
And that's another thing. They give you all these costumes in that game. I never changed out of the assassin garb.
No, it's just options.
It's classy.
It's just options.
Yeah, if you're an assassin, look the part. Be a badass.
And I want to buy all those weapons like that are in that game just to see what they look like on my armory, because I'm OCD like that. But I don't have enough money because I don't participate in that stupid trade caravan stuff. It's just... Ugh.
Anyway.
So those are my initial and nagging feelings about Assassin's Creed 3. Good game. I'm going to finish it. I wish they hadn't made certain changes. If they had just kept it like Brotherhood, oh god, and the way you bring up your assassins, the assassination menu is holding down left bumper, and then once you hold down left bumper, it brings up a menu, and then if you want to send your assassins on missions, you have to hit X while still holding left bumper.
Okay.
If you let go of left bumper, it takes you out of that menu. It should just be a menu. I should hit start and be like, assassin missions, okay. Or I should click in a wheel. It should just be a press, not a hold, a button to do something like that. Just bad UI choices.
And they changed it from the original?
The original, yes. It was a menu option. You went in and said, send my assassins here. Which you still do in this game to get them level ups, but you just have to hold that bumper and then pops up the menu and then you hit X.
Sounds like too much reinvention of the wheel.
Yeah, I don't know why they changed certain things. It's silly. I mean, the creative director for who created that game left after the second one? Like, after development on the second one was well underway. So, I mean, I'm sure the seeds of Brotherhood were there when he was there, but it's kind of lost its way. I hope it has a satisfying ending, and if they do make another Assassin's Creed 4
is just in the future.
Or just, I mean, a completely different story, side, you know, like, you can have assassins, but... It doesn't necessarily need to be related to the whole 2012 end of the world thing.
Like, they should... It should either be in the future or... I don't know, maybe Napoleonic times?
That would be cool. I think... Because they've only been doing, like, Eastern Europe and Middle East. They haven't done, like, England or anything like that in those games. Or France or...
Well, it looks like they're going forward. They're not going to go backwards, so we just have...
French Revolution. That was late 1800s, was that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could have... Vietnam?
No.
No? No Vietnam? No.
I don't think that... No.
Fall of Saigon?
No.
No.
But I think maybe...
Too soon?
Maybe,
Yeah, no? Too soon.
You're a Vietnamese assassin.
Maybe 70s Asia, not necessarily Vietnam.
Yeah. Or, I mean, you know, you could also be... 50s through 70s Africa, all of the revolutions going on.
But you wouldn't... Not enough verticality there. Remember, that's the key. Gotta be able to run through cities and have some cool verticality.
Well, apparently not, because you have Assassin's Creed 3.
I'm trying to right the ship down. I'm not trying to steer it further into an embankment.
Well, okay. Algeria? They had this pretty big city there, and then where they're rebelling against France... In the 50s and 60s.
Cape Town. Should we go to South Africa, too?
They have a rebellion. Apartheid. the
Slave taco.
Nelson,
let's do that.
Nelson Mandela is a Templar. He's a Templar.
Oh!
No, he's plot twist. That's why he's in jail.
Yeah, I guess so.
Oh, God.
Ugh. And then...
There's one sequence in that game in Assassin's Creed 3 that just grinded on me when they did it. They did the classic thing where you're like, oh, I'm starting to build up myself as a badass, and now you're going to take all my tools away.
Ah, I hate that.
Yeah.
Any game that does that, it's a lazy.
Assassin's Creed 4, Nanking.
No, Dan.
No?
No.
Damn.
Bataan.
Yeah, that'd be rough.
Yeah. So anyways.
Assassin's Creed Nagasaki.
Oh, God.
No?
No.
That wouldn't be a game. It'd be like...
Assassin's Creed Dresden? Sure, let's think of some more horrible destructions.
French
of
Resistance?
What, Les Miserables, Assassin's Creed?
No, well, no, in World War II, French Resistance.
Yeah, or, resisting the Vichy government?
Yeah, or, you know, or Dutch Resistance. One of those. It'd be pretty okay.
Polish Resistance.
Pretty okay.
The Norwegians, the Finns.
Yeah.
Maybe Russia overthrew the Tsar.
Yeah, there you go.
Imagine climbing up on the Kremlin.
Yeah, or St. Peter's.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
No, both of those would be cool.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed 4, Stalingrad.
I think if you're going to make like an Assassin's Creed game, I think if it's going to be more global, I think you could do that, where you have him going to a bunch of different countries.
Assassin's Creed Incorporated.
Yeah.
Where there's several countries in the game, that'd be okay.
So think about it. If they do like a, you know, they keep moving
assassins
it forward.
Assassins around the world.
Yeah, you start telling stories of several different assassins and what their movements are trying to build up to possibly what's going on in this current game.
What's the year that Desmond is supposed to be?
2012.
Oh.
Because it's all related to the Mayan thing. The Mayan thing is tied into the whole sci-fi element of it because they're trying to prevent the end of the world.
So how do they make Assassin's Creed 4? Because it'd be past 2012, just...
No, you like I said, you don't have to make it Desmond. You can tell a story of how they were preparing for... Or if you do a future one...
I want Assassin's Creed, like, 2042.
You do Assassin's Creed
2142, where you're just, like, you're hacking into systems, and you're, like, flying around in jet boots.
Well, and the thing is
cyber cycles?
That, the way the story's set up, they could easily do something like that if the sci-fi villain or the sci-fi portion twist on it, you know, the person talking to you, like if that becomes a threat to you as opposed to the Templars being the threat.
Dude, you know what they do? Or another idea? Assassin's Creed Time Machine. You're just constantly going through different time periods running away from that crazy, like, malevolent
time machine quantum leap.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed Quantum Leap. Oh, here we go.
Oh boy,
let's. Yeah, Scott Bakula's not
time
doing anything.
Time assassins.
Time assassins. Oh shoot, we gotta write Ubisoft right now.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, that's a good idea. Oh shit, we should just steal this.
Totally
idea.
Do that.
It's a good idea, but we're already working on a different project that's the same thing.
All right, see you guys later.
Which is our way of saying we stole it.
Okay, tomorrow, we're working on a new property, Time Assassins. You go through time.
Assassinating people.
Yeah, and you're being followed by freaking, like, Templars, kind of like Matrix kind of stuff, where they're just, you know, they're
you're
like the
only the one
ancients.
Who can see them.
Yo!
This writes itself.
I know. It's. I mean, wow.
I'm not a game designer, but
I'm okay.
Think...
I'm okay with this.
I'm
okay
willing to bet Scott Bakula is free.
Yeah, I'm 100%.
The last thing I think he did was Star Trek Enterprise.
I think Dean Stockwell's still around too. So if we really needed, if we needed Al, we could get that.
They should just make a Quantum Leap game.
I think
screw Assassin's Creed.
Ziggy
Leap.
Tells me that
you
are
Telltale
in.
Telltale could make a good Quantum Leap game.
Oh yeah. The guys who made Walking Dead and, yeah, story-wise, a Quantum Leap.
That's episodic. I don't even know. That's a great idea. I don't
know
what.
That's a good idea.
Copyrighted. I wrote a letter to myself.
Take a picture next to a newspaper. What's a newspaper?
Got my thumbs up.
What's a newspaper?
The newspaper is this paper thing that used to have stories in it that would tell you what was going on in the world. Before the internet.
Grimm's Fairy Tales?
How would I write comments in racist
you don't.
Comments?
Oh, you actually write a letter on paper and you mail it to the newspaper.
How would you mail such a thing?
With a stamp. There's this thing called the post office.
Uh-huh.
They take your money.
Okay.
And then you put a stamp on an envelope.
All right.
And they take that letter.
Uh-huh.
To the address that you write on
Wait,
the envelope.
They walk me. It over there? They just straight... Like,
they use cars.
How many employees do they have to...
You lost me.
And trains.
You lost me.
And they lose billions of dollars.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So they're, you know, they're a private organization, but they get government money.
I get... Okay. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah. That's pretty much it.
I lost you.
All right, well. I'm sorry. I can't keep explaining.
And then they take this paper and then they paste it onto a newspaper?
No. Oh. They take that letter and then somebody types it on a typewriter.
Okay, I'm with you again.
Wait.
A typewriter.
Uh-huh. Why would they type it? Dan typed it up on typewriter,
yeah,
probably.
A typewriter? Did,
yeah, wait.
Yeah.
I'm getting so
confused.
Okay.
Then they take that
and
they take it to a printer.
Uh-huh.
Which is not like a printer you'd have at home where you click a button that says print and it pops out with ink. They have a large, huge machine called a printing press.
Okay.
They put your article or your comment, your letter, in a portion of this large press.
You lost me.
Yeah, I know. I think that's how a printing press used to work.
Yeah.
I think now it's all digital,
too. You'd have a spread and then you'd paste things
big
into
ink
different
blocks and
You'd paste things into different things, so you'd have like your little like your spread,
your layout,
and it would get pressed into the.
Now it's all digital.
Oh,
I wrote for a student newspaper back.
I did
in
too.
School.
Is all of this the stuff that Steve Gutenberg made before he worked on Police Academy?
Yes, the Steve Gutenberg Bible.
Yeah. The Gutenberg Bible.
The Gutenberg Bible.
Was that the one where Mahoney will save us?
City Heroes closed last night.
That's sad.
Yeah. Giant Bomb didn't have something else.
I was sad. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought they would do something for
that. Yeah,
them.
But they closed. I was looking on my Twitter last night on the train back from Seattle after I watched Blue Scholars. Yeah, and then it was like people were tweeting like, oh, City Heroes closing in 20 minutes.
R.I.P. City Heroes.
So is it closed down because we talked about it?
Yes.
We broke it?
Yes. Yep. Is gone.
Yeah.
Dark Age is gone, right?
I don't know.
Star Wars is gone.
Galaxies, that was terrible. Good riddance.
Is Star Trek still around?
Yes.
Yeah.
And free to play. No, he's saying Star Trek.
Oh, yeah, that's still around.
Star Trek Federation.
EverQuest 1 is still around.
Whoa.
Yeah. People still play EverQuest.
Yeah, I think private servers. They have private servers. Like, people just took it and then just...
What about Ultima?
I want to say they're closed.
No. Yeah, I want to say no. I know with Star Wars Galaxies, though, that there's some people that are working on making private servers for that.
No.
Yeah.
No!
Yeah.
That game sucked.
Yeah. There is a hardcore contingent that
you know what?
That game.
They're all Jedi's because they got their holocrons.
I'm gonna keep dancing.
Now wait. Is this people who are fans of old Star Wars Galaxies?
Free.
Or new game experience?
Free new game experience. Actually, I think there's two.
Oh, there's two factions?
Splinters. I think there's two projects.
It's like the Protestants and the Catholics. They're gonna fight each other out.
This is when I found out that there's like multiple tales in the desert.
There's six, Dan.
Yeah, I thought there was only four. But yeah, there are six.
Yeah, I went to the website and
the desert,
I typed
six.
It in.
Apparently they go on iterations of like some... Anyway.
It's terrible. Game's
I
terrible.
Found this. I found this
My
cool...
My brain is hurting right now.
I found this
now.
Cool MMO, like, I think it was on Rock, Paper, Shotgun, but I forgot what it was. I was going to mention it.
Wow.
Cool story.
That's nice.
Alright. Well... Is there anything else you guys want to talk about? Because, I mean, I'm pretty much tapped
you
out.
Blew your load.
I had my Assassin's Creed 3 venting, so.
You know one story I'd love to share, but...
You know what? We won't go through the whole Xbox 360 thing, but we should tell the story of
the
Xbox 360 lottery. I think that's a good recap.
Oh, my
my
experience with
So John had an Xbox 360.
I was the first one of us to get an Xbox.
No, I had a launch
D-Li.
One.
Did you have a launch one? D-Li got the first one.
D-Li got
I think I got one shortly after.
I was before D-Li because you picked his up. His was like pre-ordered by a couple days late.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, launch window.
Yeah.
So that was our first Xbox 360 at our old apartment was D-Lee's. And then when we moved out of the place that we were in, I picked up a 360 myself.
Yeah. And that became like
the house
general 360.
Yes.
And then it red ringed.
Red
was
ringed?
It the first red ring
that
this
the
happened?
Very first red ring.
So it finally red ringed after like a year or
year
2 years.
Year and a half,
whatever.
Maybe 2 years.
Maybe two years. Because that was I was already playing Modern Warfare 1 on your Xbox.
That's true, yeah. Did you? Oh, yes, yeah.
Yeah. And then, Yeah.
Going through Microsoft support, which was not very good back in the day. They were very, it was serviceable. They were like, okay, yeah, we'll get your console repaired. We'll send you, you know, here's a box. You get a label, ship it into us. We'll send you a replacement, or we'll fix it. Send in my console, and back then it takes about a month. So,
yeah,
we're without my 360 for a good month.
Yeah.
So
I don't know what we did.
We played other stuff. Sure. I played PS2.
I played
PC.
Sins of the Solar Empire, maybe?
Homeworld 2.
No, it was past Homeworld
2. Homeworld 2?
Homeworld 2 I had
World
back,
Warcraft.
Back in Seattle on the Capitol Hill.
Okay. So anyways, we were playing other things for that month. But I get an email. Yeah. I get an email from Microsoft saying, oh, look, your console's shipping back to you. Here's a tracking number. And then the next day, I got another email with two more tracking numbers. And I went, okay, which one of these is valid? So 7 to 10 business days later, there's a package on my doorstep. All right, got my Xbox back. I'll hook this back up. Wonder what's up with these other two tracking numbers.
No, wasn't the first day you got two?
That's right. No, I
got
two.
First day you got
two. First one I got two tracking
you
numbers.
Got two
I'm like,
boxes.
Why are there two tracking numbers? I tracked them both, and they both got delivered, and I went home, and I'm like, did they send me two Xboxes?
They sent you two Xboxes.
I went home, and I was like, they sent me two Xboxes. Dan's eyes lit up like it was Christmas morning. He's like, you got two Xboxes.
No, you called me at work, and you were just like...
Yes.
Dan, I don't know what's going on.
They sent me two.
But I have two Xboxes from Xbox.
Yeah.
And then the very next day...
Third box came.
The very next day, third box came, and you called me
third
again
Xbox.
And was like, okay, something is wrong. I'm not sure what to do.
Three Xboxes.
There's three Xboxes. So I came back, and then you were like... I remember this vividly. You were like, should I return these? Like, I don't want to get in trouble or something. And I was like, they sent it to you, man. You ain't stealing. You ain't stealing.
Yeah,
somebody.
Your justification was so good because, like, you had that gleam in your eye. You're like, no, man, you keep these. These are your Xboxes.
Somebody.
No, there's a rule about this. It's
look,
unwritten.
I know how logistics work. Somebody looked at the barcode, scanned it into their system, and said, I'm sending this to John Hood. And then scanned another one, sending this to John Hood. It's all perfectly... Unless that guy is smuggling drugs somewhere inside of that console and just expected you to, like, open it up and find, like, drugs or, you know, sex slaves or something. Like, there's no bad things going on here. It's weird.
So, yeah. I got my pro console back. Popped in my 20-gig hard drive.
And then the next day... We were waiting for another Xbox and hoping that there would be another Xbox and nothing showed up and we were pretty sad.
Yeah, maybe I'll just keep getting Xboxes.
Every day a new one.
Somehow you got three.
Yes.
And I know that they're all registered to you because I got one of your Xboxes and when that red ringed and I was going to support for that one,
yep.
Like they were like, this is registered to John Hood. And I was like, that's funny.
But no, so I got the three Xboxes, I hooked mine back up, and I had my gameplay, my 20-gig hard drive, and Dan was like, John, can I use this Xbox? Go ahead, Dan, use that Xbox.
I'm going to use this Xbox.
So you took that Xbox, and then you went out the next day, I think, and bought yourself a 20-gig hard drive, an extremely overpriced.
No.
Or did Lou buy you the
hard drive? I didn't spend any money on all of those things.
Who got
you
the hard drive?
Steven. Remember he was working at Microsoft at one point?
Did he find you a ghetto hard drive? Like
he just
a found hard drive?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Actually, I don't know how legal this conversation is at this moment.
They don't know who Steven is. Some dude named Steven.
Some other guy.
Steven Spielberg.
Kabato.
Steven Hawking.
Yeah, he got me a Xbox hard drive. I think I bought...
You bought a memory card. You bought a memory card.
Yeah, I bought a memory card so I could switch
so
stuff
you
between...
play on my TV and then your TV.
I think I bought the USB controller.
And then, you also had to get the cable to hook it up to your...
To the monitor.
Computer monitor.
And I think that was provided by our friend also.
Okay.
And then we took a network cable, and he knew how to change the jumper so that I could use it as a crossover cable. So I used my computer's internet connection
wireless,
as the internet connection for the Xbox. And I played That's, and then I played Modern Warfare a million, a bajillion times.
You played a lot of games on your Xbox.
Then I played, yeah, I played Modern Warfare.
You were the first one to play Mass Effect out of us, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It took me two tries before I could actually get through that game.
What do you mean?
I didn't finish it the first time I started playing it. What? I got to the Citadel, played it, and I was like, this is boring. And I stopped for like 6 months, and then I went back. I'm like, no, I want to play this. I've heard this is great. Went in and played it, and I'm like, yes, this is fantastic.
Except for the Mako.
No, I love the Mako. I don't care. Mako for life. Love zooming in on stuff and blowing it up.
I'm just being a troll.
No, I actually did not hate the Mako. I did not hate the Mako.
I hated it. But, see, I didn't luck out when my 360 died. Of course, it couldn't be a red ring. So, it is a launch one just shy of 3 years. And the DVD drive went bad. So, then I'd start having to insert a disc, eject it, insert, eject, insert. Keep going through that up to 45 minutes to load, to get the disc recognized. So then I got a new one, got the arcade system. So, you know, no hard drive, put my old hard drive on it.
Mm-hmm.
Came with a memory card. That one never existed. Because when it red-ringed a couple months ago, it is, as John knows, it's not in the Microsoft system.
Nope.
And unfortunately, it came out so long ago that I can't argue, well, it doesn't matter if it's not in the system, it's, you know, it's an SKU that's only 2.5 years old. No, it's an SKU that's about 4 years old, so I'm now on Xbox number 3. I feel like it's a PlayStation, where I keep buying new ones.
I'm on my 4th Xbox.
But you got the black one, though.
I have the Slim now, because I invested last year during Black Friday, when they had the $199 deal, which they had this year as well.
See, I would have got a Slim, except I had a nice 120 gig hard drive, and the old hard drives don't work.
Well, we've got a transfer cable. You should.
Yeah, but I didn't want to have buy, you know, either a system with hard drive, and since mine broke, you know, 2 months ago, waiting for Black Friday. One, the original Pro came with the DVD remote.
Until they kept fucking up the menus all the time. Yeah. I don't know what it is with Microsoft, or actually any technology company, going back to Assassin's Creed, it's just like, something already works. Why are you changing how this works? Like, this menu already works. Why are you changing, like, how this menu works?
I hate the Netflix 360 menus, where I have no idea. Like, there's no good, easy way, if you're halfway into a movie, to get back to the very beginning in a hurry, unless you have a Kinect.
I don't know if they released Smart Glass yet. Have you gotten that yet?
Yeah.
It works.
I'm not a fan of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I have it on my phone, and it's okay. It's not compatible with Nexus 7.
Oh.
Hey, Microsoft, good one. Ignore the biggest possible Android tablet market by not making a Nexus 7 compatible.
Because it's Android. It's all
crazy. It's not Microsoft.
It's all
well, the Smart Glass, though, is.
I know.
And I found a way to put it on here. I put it on my Nexus 7 tablet, you know, doing backdoor. And it works okay, except you could tell there was incompatibility with a few things.
I've used the Smart Glass on my laptop here with Windows 8. It works pretty well, yeah. But
I think it'd work on Windows 8 pretty well.
Yeah, I would hope so.
That would suck.
Yeah. So that was my Microsoft, like, lottery story, as Dan has called it. I like that term. I won the Microsoft lottery that year.
The third day, I kept waiting. Like, I think I called up Dan at one point going, dude, did you get another one?
Yeah. So crazy.
We were all waiting.
I made a big investment on that Xbox 360. I bought that and that in like 4 controllers, like right out of the gate, and a bunch of games. But yeah, it's a good place to stop for today.
Yeah, okay, well, so I'm going to go and talk about DayZ for about the next 2 hours, right? I thought that's what we're doing. No, we're stopping?
We're stopping here.
Oh.
We can talk about DayZ in 2-3 weeks? Anyway, okay. Thanks for listening, folks. We will see you next time. Or not see you next time, but talk to you next time.
Stop it, John.
Nope. I'm going to wait till you put it out and say goodnight to these fine folks.
Nah, 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 nah,